No más, sí, also. No, I don't know whether or not how if the cricket South Africa or is still with us. Are you still with us, Emma or Noma, or are you with them? Okay. Gerard, thanks. Honorable members, we had two presentations today. The one of the SWD, together with the South African Rugby Union, around development on the SWD, how is it doing, and then there are things that are derailing that area to develop optimally. But I got a call and a letter from South African Rugby Union that they are requesting that the meeting should be postponed because they are outside the country with the rugby. I apologize because I could have not even called them because I was not aware of that program that they are playing. So I've accepted the request and then and requested Polly to stop the SWD not to come because we were going to meet both of the SWD and SAR. And last week, the committee took a decision that because we are running against time, the chair and one or two members that the chair would request, and then we'll meet Mackenzie in KwaZulu-Natal, and then we must visit KwaZulu-Natal. There are issues around the usage of the stadium, the retention is going on. If you recall, the other time when the rugby was here, there were things that were said about the municipality and the stadium there. Those things are surfacing. Time and again, when you read, you get those things there. So, issues of the stadium, we are not going to relent on issues of the stadium because those stadiums are stadiums that have to be used optimally so that they must not be white elephants. You'll recall when we asked the department to give us a plan that shows how these stadiums are going to be used so that we kept this whole euphoria of the white elephants, and you remember the Stade de France withdrawal from Cape Town. It was another story. So we're trying to put our hands on how this process is unfolding. So we are going to go to KwaZulu-Natal, and then I will inform those companies. I will decide by next week, because I'm sure next week will be our last week here. By next week, we will decide when are we going to KwaZulu-Natal and inform the municipal manager and the mayor there that we are coming, and inform the SHAC and inform the Rugby Union of KwaZulu-Natal. Then we must be able to meet and deal with those issues. The other thing is that we called for a South African Cricket Union just to come and present to us, as usual, Gerard, the preparations that you are doing towards this grand cup that you are going to play. But I've seen our team play very well yesterday. Is it Hesham Gibbs? What? Who is he?
Yesterday.
Yeah, Kallis was just on top of the form yesterday. And then congratulations to the boys. They played very well. After all, it is a known thing, but don't be complacent. It is a known thing that that cricket team, wherever it goes, it plays very well. And the rugby yesterday, and I could see a sigh of relief when they just got there with a margin. They managed to win with a margin. Not a big margin, with one or two goals, points. And but finally they managed to win. And that was the boost to our point. The girls also. Last week, I asked for it to send all members that they must join the chair in Gauteng to go and see the Banyana Banyana. Because since they've been campaigning, we have not been there. And it cannot be right that when it is the girls, we are not there, but anybody else, we are there. Can't be correct. But the rain also was a problem in Gauteng, Gerard. But on Thursday, they are playing with the Equatorial game. And Thursday, we are going to be here. If it was going to be on Friday, I was going to request that we quickly take the flight and land there and go and see the girls. And also, Bafana Bafana are playing here with America in Cape Town, in Greenpoint Stadium. So we must go and see that game. It's on the 17th, just a day before we go home. Wednesday. So Mackenzie can't tell me stories that he's going to KwaZulu Natal. He's going to be with us at the Green Point. And yes. And the one who goes to KwaZulu Natal also is going to be with us there. So I have made arrangements that all of us are going to be part of that America and South Africa playing there. So if I ask people to make arrangements, can imagine the effort that people are taking, and then suddenly people just decide that they can't go. I don't know. So, but I've arranged that we all go there to go and watch Bafana Bafana. Gerard, thanks for coming. And then I think I've requested Cedric to draw the statement for Banyana this afternoon. I'm sure you've done that, so that we congratulate them. So Jared will congratulate cricket a day after today. And we will see rugby. But I have sent the Cedric in his SMS and say he must just draw a statement and then just to wish Banyana Banyana on our behalf. So who's going to read it and all that is decided by them. I only request for the statement and then how is it done and then where is it going to land. But we are going to have the ownership of that statement, all of us as sports. Gerard, thanks very much. The other thing, Gerard, we were observing with a keen interest the problems that were going on in the Gauteng Cricket Union and all of that. And we have observed with keen interest. You see, Gerard, you can't say a jackal must go and wash the sheep. You can't say that. Because that jackal is going to eat the sheep. Now, I have seen you saying somebody must go and mediate on a matter of cricket. And that person got an interest in that matter of Gauteng cricket and say, no, it's one of the proliferant persons who's very good on mediation and all that. And then I said, I don't know how other people are thinking. Thanks, I'm thinking a little bit different from other people. Because when you ask a thief to go and save money, and you know this person has a profound record of stealing. Then he said, man, keep this money and then I'll get it from you when I come back. He's going to tell you that somebody grabbed the money and the money is gone. Yet the money has landed in his pocket. So I finally that matter was said to have been resolved. But I can tell you now, you have one cricket union in Gauteng that is a law unto itself. So that matter is not resolved. matter of Gauteng. Because we wanted to meet those people and discuss with them and find out between the South African Cricket Union and the Gauteng Cricket Union, the buck ends where, or the buck stops with who. Because seemingly in the country, the buck stops with the Gauteng Cricket Union. And unfortunately, with us, the buck is not going to stop with Gauteng Cricket Union. And we have respected your view and do not go on with that matter, but we're waiting for them again that they should stage a coup. Because Kona, they staged a coup in Africa, in Gauteng Cricket Union. And they just woke up and fire everybody there and put in new people there. And there was chaos there of leadership there. But we will see. We are observing that with keen interest on the matter of the Gauteng Cricket Union. And I can tell you, in no time, it's going to blow again. So we have requested you, Gerald, just to make us feel comfortable that your preparations are well, and then what are the challenges that are there, and all that. Because we will be coming to you later around the section of the Sports Act that says on annual basis, it's just that cricket, you're not a culprit too much on this, on reporting and all that. But what is going to be a fundamental discussion with us, Gerald, is going to be your development plan. Cricket. So that at least we talk to the act and then we check your direction around development, because I've seen Makaya has now called it quit, but he played for this country. He's one of the best players that you have ever produced. But in fact, all of it that you are playing for Cricket South Africa, a very good player. So you must go and produce the other Sotsobe, the Aya, the other Makaya Ntini, and many of those, so that at least cricket must remain number one and remain where it is, and they're very good. And thrive, Gerard, because people are asking a question. When we're dealing with transformation, why we have to deal with the black and white? I think it's a very provoking statement when we have to deal with the black and white. I was discussing with the Congress of the People, but I'm happy that I have made the Congress of the People to understand what we mean. Because we're saying, Gerard, the correction of apartheid is to correct an apartheid on black people. White people were never imposed on apartheid. Apartheid was not designed for white people in this country. It was designed for black people to make them inferior citizens of this country. And now when you correct that, you go and look at those who were on the receiving end. In a broader sense, women were inferior in this country. Now, when you say you are correcting the setup of humanity, you must go to women, because they were the drawers of wood, the carriers of water. They were made to cook for men, because it was said that they are not equal than a man. But when you correct that, you go and fetch women who have potential deliberately and say, women, these are women that I am deliberately designing and make sure that I am empowering them. So that tomorrow, the question of women are not there must be something that is not there. Now, the correction of apartheid to me and to many others is that, Gerard, you go to those who were on the receiving end and open up opportunities for them. But when you say that, no, let them come and equalize and put on merit, they still do not have facilities. They still do not have resources. Why are you not making resources available? Then you go and fetch them and say, all of you, you are going to put your hand on these resources for all of you so that I must train you to be equal. That is what we mean, Comrade McCain. And that it is not the question of, I've checked, there was a case of a man who was who went to court around prejudice on horse racing. A certain judge declared comment to him and said something that is very far irrelevant from the case. He said, you see, it is not like in rugby where you fetch black people. In fact, white people must be fetched where they are and come and join in rugby. It was utter complete racist statement that was making to that person. Because yes, there is no way that you can make such a disjunction when you know what is the history of sports in this country. Sports was based on segregation. Sports was based on apartheid. Now, when do you construct the country? Are you constructing on one side? Or you bring the two sides and make them to come together and say, we have a responsibility of building a nation. That is what we have to do, okay? We didn't say we want to take over this country, change you to the sea. But we said we want to live side by side with South Africans, both black and white, because this country belongs to all who live in it. It doesn't belong to black people, and it doesn't belong to white people. But by design, it has to belong to a white people. You must read another book written by one person called Saul Plaatje. It's called A Native Life in South Africa. Go and read it. Go check that book. It's written The Native Life in South Africa by Saul Plaatje. Those are all the things that emanate from the 1913 Land Act. And you must read there and hear when Parliament was debating about the Land Act, the horrible things that were said by Chitu to us. The horrible things. But all the same, I was just go and read it. It's written A Native Life by Saul Plaatje. Native Life in South Africa by Saul Plaatje, and read that. His trust is on the 1913 Land Act. Eviction, squatter camps, and many of those things. Who has made the proliferation of squatter camps to be what they are today? Is that 1913 Land Act? And then you must read it again. Thank you very much. You see, when I'm with the Congress of the People, I always give Nimuhabu so that at least it must be sharp wherever he meets with Chilowa on the other side. Thank you. Thanks, Derek. We give over to you there. Okay. Of President Musuwa, my homeboy. Thanks, Derek. You can go. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear? Thank you very much, Chair. Last time, Chair, I was here, we were discussing about the white elephant proposed by Mustafa. I just want to confirm, Chair, that we'll be using one of those white elephants on the 9th of January. Commemorate and celebrate 150 years of India in South Africa on the 9th of January, Chair. I'd like to extend an invitation to the Sports Proposal Committee. If you can get the name, we invite you back to get the freedom on the 9th, Chair. So it will be a special day for us, celebrate 150 years of India. For us, really, the relationship between us and India goes a long way. And you'll recall, Chair, you were, in 1948, the Indians were the first country to boycott apartheid in South Africa, which of course led to isolation of sports eventually. And then it got back in 1991 in the world cricket again. The Indians were the first country that they nominated us in 1991 to be a full member country in the ICC. So the first country to invite us to play. When we were again back in the international fold, we were the first country to come to South Africa. when we were members of the ICC. So that relationship is a very strong relationship between us and India, and we'd like to keep that relationship going. So chair to your committee members, you're all invited to attend that thing. We'd like to get the numbers and names as soon as possible. It is on the 9th of January, it's peak period. Difficult to get hotels, difficult to get flights, and things like that. So I know you can't fly with we will look after you. You're all invited.
Thank you. Thank you,
Ajahn.
And then
the quarter
will give that information. Now, Gerard, you know, members are so thrilled in what you just said. Very excited. You know, Indians suffered equally to us in this country. I remember in Kroonstad, I was a young boy. Indians could never get into town in Kroonstad and buy there. You must ask Kestaluj. Kestaluj is the delay.
I can tell you a story about that.
Kroonstad. And then you must come and tell us today that Indians, we regard them and we are patronizing the Indians. Indians were in the trenches with us. Indians suffered equally to us. And the apartheid was on Indians and blacks in this country.
Yes. I can tell you a story, a very short story about that Indian group. Eastern province was traveling to play the Rongomtali, we call it Rongomtali those days, going to Johannesburg and Devon over Christmas period and New Year period. And we stopped in Bloemfontein, the shop, and there was one side for white and one side for black. Arun Logan, who happened, who is now the ICC CEO, was part of the team. And he wanted to buy stuff, and he was sent to a small window on the other side, where he can only push his hand through and buy from there. So he decided he's going to buy a bicycle. So he bought the bicycle. So they said, no, I'm okay to that. No, I don't want it. I want it through this. So those are the days there. But we're also celebrating Makaya's third chair. We're celebrating Makaya's last day to play for the chair will be on the 9th. So Makaya will play. I normally don't interfere with selection. This is the only selection I've made this year. So, I have selected Makaya to play on the 9th, and then my selection and others to support Makaya on the day. So Makaya will be farewell to all of us on the 9th. That's his last day for the Sophia. So because of what he's done and what he means to Christmas, so we decided he can't just quit outside the field. He needs to appear. And that special day will be on the 9th of January for the largest crowd ever to watch the cricket game in this country. To be farewell to Makaya for the diversion.
On the Gauteng issue, Chair, before I run quickly, he said the matter was resolved. The matter is not resolved, sir. It's a temporary matter. There is an interim board, so if there's any interventions or things you want to know about it, sir, please consult us. We're still in process. We still have to change constitutions and things that come in. So that matter is not resolved. It is a process ongoing. So we're in progress, sir.
We have also said, Chair, that on an annual basis now we have to report, Chair. I'm looking forward to do that report. I've just done 12 roadshows now around the country, telling everyone about our new strategy, which I'd like to share with you, Chair. Our last strategy, 2007-11, ends in April. And we're starting a new strategy from 2011-2015. So we'd like to present that to you and you can ask the questions and where we go. Discuss it every day. Including development of cricket, transformation of cricket, everything else. So we'd like to share with them every million next year.
But coming to what I was called for, Chair, I'd like first to play a short video, for 5 minutes, not more, even less than 5 minutes, just to test the players, first and foremost, they understand what it means to play in this kind of country. This is the video that we're playing just now. Hopefully, I'm not very good with these kind of things. I'm spoiled. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a video I wanted to show you, just to show you how serious it's taken this whole stuff. And you start with the team themselves and realizing when they represent the country, what it really means. And also I spoke about the culture and the Fulcia itself, what does the Fulcia really mean. You know, we are the Fulcia, we're not the Fulcia, we'll never be. We will remain the Fulcia, unless and less we told them. They are the Fulcia, and they represent the Fulcia. We had, when I go to the go through the entire package and see part of that book to share with them the meaning of the project. And they must understand the same code. And that's really what we've done. The players have started their own culture now. At times, I used to go to the dressing room and I found the players celebrating, and I got the ones who were caught in the middle with the players, and I put my hand in the glass and celebrate. At the end, we ended up playing poker, and that was my last time in the dressing room. And I called them and said, that's not the time, that's not the poker, the ball is never been poker, you know, it's a lot of poker. And there's a reason for a lot of poker. And now that you know, the set is down with them, the carpet is laying, and I understand. They don't think about it anymore. They are the same. And they are the same. And that's where it will start to grow. So now if you go there, you want that again. Here, then you look here. Different. I'll go to the relation, okay? I think that video just shows really at the end that we all. Probably all sitting here concerned about one thing, that this team is all into one. Rank number one, number two, world cricket forever. We dominate world cricket up until we get to the major event, which we don't. And that's why Graham at the end says, it's not about talent or anything else, but we really have a character to win the World Cup. And that's their challenge. And they now understand that. I think you might have seen now with the latest series between Zimbabwe and South Africa, between us and Pakistan, policy of very simple policy of this. We want to keep the entire talent that's available. Gone are the days when I play 11 players up until the World Cup. So at the end of the World Cup, everybody knows by the time it starts, they know exactly the tactics, they know exactly how the second line up, and how you do things. That was directly to the selectors. You might have seen, at times you might have also queried some selections, because you have a matter of rotation at every player in the foot team, that's the field. And by the time you go to the World Cup, you know exactly all the players where they are, and which team to represent. And that's really what the message was to them. And they follow that. I'm asking due respect to London. Just going through the presentation was really is more, I'm not going to go into the quotes because I don't want to waste time. There's another presentation here. Those quotes are meant for the players, really. I mean, things like courage is the sense of fear, mastery of fear, or absence of fear. You have to fear, and for the sportsman, you have to fear, but it doesn't mean you can't fear. So I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm going to go straight into the strategy that you have and do it. The aim is to win 2011 World Cup. That's really the aim of our strategy. And the focus is to be the most professional team that we can be. And how do you achieve that? And these are really the key performance areas that I will be talking to. One is the team itself, the team culture, as I said, up front, the team and the team to understand their own culture, what they represent, what they stand for. Technical excellence, they have to be excellent technically. They must be best conditioned team in world cricket. Mental strength, participation is important. It's not about only playing, it's about after game, you must be accessible to people that follow you, and things like that. Selection is critical, administration and compliance. Those are the key performance areas. This strategy was started with immediately meeting us and left, and the employees calling and saying, we then called him and to have him in Argentina to come up with a strategy. He was really there. They are taking something that needs you. If they present it to the board, and the board is accepted. And this is the strategy I'm talking about. So, it's under the team, these are the issues, and things we will be holding into. Number one is the cultural identity, which I've spoken to. They have to have a culture, there must be a culture in the team, like the box. Of culture. In our case, Australia, what I told you stand for, as you said, I mean, after the fire, the first thing to mention is the Australia. There are strong Australians, and I don't think our people
how young people knew about that. We employed a guy from the UK to look into other cultures and review the All Blacks and their culture and how and where the haka comes from and all the things, what it does to the All Blacks team before they play. So he investigated all these things and himself that really you need to have that kind of culture. There is no culture currency because you've got mixed messages. You don't understand where you're coming from. You come from different backgrounds. But really, our diversity is our strength. It shouldn't be what divides us. It's something that really must make us that position in country. But we must find the culture in the culture that we push. And that's really what we did. We had this guy from Sporting Edge who did that. As well as Daniel Carica, who of course was in charge of the box who won the World Cup. So the two of them, we took the team out and they did a session a full week with the team outside just to discuss the culture of the team and where they stand for. And each player was asked to speak on how he feels about anything in the team. So first time you are a young player who never spoke, had a chance and opportunity to speak on how they feel and how they felt in the dressing room. When they're part of the team. And that's now out in the open, and you can now see a totally different investing setup. That's why the youngsters come in and perform. I mean, our superstars now, you know, Pakistan, so is the Colin Ingram, David Miller, the Theron, because they get there and they can perform because the culture is different. It's accepting everybody. It's not a divided team.
And then that's the first thing we did, was to get them to understand exactly what it means to be a Protea and to represent Cricket South Africa. Because there was resistance really to represent the Protea. For some players, you know, it's a flower, what am I representing? Now they understand what a Protea means, they understand what they stand for, what the Protea means in this country. And also the team culture now is now made around the Protea and what they stand for. So there's a culture now around the team. That's the first thing one is to build a one united team, because these are kind of things that at times when things are tough, you need to cling on to a fellow colleague. And that was very important for us. And then we also felt that the family and the team spirit was done all of that. That's all the build up towards the World Cup. Just around the team itself. The team also needs time off. Not to be always around waiting the team. So management must look after time off. They can't just be talking cricket all the time. They have to also take time off. So management must make sure that players come in and they are rested at times. Because sometimes players, when they're rested, because they lose money by not playing games. We have to educate them that playing longer, you try and exhaust yourself and try and play all the games and make money now. But making money in 5 years is better. And that now is something the players, they understand they have to direct it, they have to give other opportunities as well, and to make sure we have at least 18 players every time they are ready to play, step in and play at that level. You can't have the same players, irrespective of how they're performing, consistently playing, because they're going to be exhausted as well. So time off is key for them as well. And then with team building and fun is also key to their success. So that's really around the team, it's done around the team itself. And this is about last season into this year. And then we have to also look at technical excellence, which is, I mean, the game itself, which we really believe that the team, they have talent, they have the skills, but they also have to understand certain tactics around the game, how to play in a power play one and power play two, all the technical issues which lecture, I would not bore you with, but I just want to make sure that you understand, you've gone through all those things. And there were people who were assigned to do all those things. Handled betting, and there were consultants there, individual player betting. Kepler Wessels, for example, is one of our betting consultants. Kepler would invite other betting consultants as well to come with him and discuss with all the players. Some players would want a certain coach because that coach can relate to them. For an example, Graham Smith has worked a long time with Jimmy Cook, and Jimmy Cook knows when he's with Graham. So he would be called with our technical consultant and work with Graham, with Jimmy Cook for a session so they can understand what makes Graham work. And so those people were called in and to do all of that. Bowling, same thing. I'm sure you might have watched a few games we played now. We're still battling with our dead bowling, and that's something they have to work on. And thank God, thanks now we have all these games that we're playing to be ready in the World Cup to make sure that at least by the time that World Cup comes, we're ready to tackle all those finer issues and details. Fielding, we have people like John Rhodes, who gets invited to come and speak to the team and work with them for a couple of days. So we do invite all the players that played to come and assist as well. But on the right-hand side of that slide, you will see the people who have been really facilitating those sessions, but they also invite outsiders to come and assist to make sure the team is ready. We also analyze opposition. We've learned something through the IPL. The Indians are very good when it comes to IT. Ray Jennings, who was a coach of one of the teams in our Royal Challenger, was getting better information than Colin Hansel, who was a national coach on television, from the guys, technical guys who were assisting. So we're giving him opposition and where you can, how you can get them out and things like that, which we didn't have in the last tour now to Pakistan. We have hired one of these guys from India to work with our team to bring us all the information that they have, which we didn't have, which is critical and important to analyze opposition. Because we are analyzed, we never knew that. Gary Kirsten sits on that side, they know exactly how Jacques Hallis gets out here. He would know exactly where to go to him and what to do at what time. And such things. So we have now gone into that system as well. We also have a system called Performance, which gives you databases of each player and each individual. So the coach sits there and they're betting to get a batsman out or something like that. He would call on the analyst, and the analyst would give him exactly this is all his different zones in the last 12 months, and they would look at that and they would send a message to the guy. This is the line he must follow, this is where he must get. Unfortunately, on the short version, it's very difficult. On test cricket, you can do it because you've got enough time to do that. But on the 2020s and ODI, it's difficult to really get all that message. You must do it beforehand, analyze this player, you must play against you. That's why most of the teams will only hand out their team sheets in the morning of the game because they are aware that you will be analyzing the night before and already having strategies to bowl against them or to play against them if they are bowlers. So those are kind of little things that we've done and make sure that we this team is well prepared going forward. And then the next one is the technical excellence. Technically, they must also understand certain things. I'm not going to bore you with all of this. These were really meant for the team that are there. You've asked me to ask and talk to you about how prepared we are. So I've got everything, so if there are a few cricket experts here, I can talk to them. If they want to ask any questions on this matter, I would discuss that with them. But it's really about technically how you would shape yourself, how you bet. I mean, I'm like one of the bettors in the world cricket that's very difficult to defend because these shots are not conventional shots. So it's very difficult to defend. Amla decides when he has to play the ball where he wants to. That's why I'm not caught on better than anybody else who works with currency. Because he uses grip.
Amla.
Yes.
Have you worked on him since he said another catch by terrorists? Because that is another thing that when he goes up there again, what comes in his mind? is another case by a terrorist. So have you worked on AMLA on that?
No, we have, as we have, as I said, we have people that work with them on continuous basis, on psychologically, on mental. AMLA, fortunately, just on his own, his mental strength is very good. He's one of the best in the world. Everybody respects him. I think this man, we haven't seen his true talent yet. He's still going to see a lot of AMLA. Much as he was written off when he started playing by our own, we all believe that AMLA is still going to be around for another 10, 15 years because he's mentally strong. He's got his own beliefs as well. He's physically fit and he concentrates. I mean, concentration skills are unchallenged for him. I mean, if Sachin Tendulkar can say that, very few people can give you that honor. And that's how good AMLA is. And that's why it's very difficult to defend. He can go in, he decides to change it this way, he does it. Because it's all in the risk. It's not about the stroke, like others. Everything he plays is on his risk. So if the gap is there, it goes there. If it's there, it goes there. That's how he plays. And that's why it's very difficult to defend somebody like that. And you'll see he doesn't get out of the same position as well. But those are kind of things. But still, he still has to work on him, on technically, on how to defend. That's important to him. Much as he can score, he must be defended again. So those are technical skills that he has taught, which he must concentrate on as well. Because in test cricket, he must defend his wicket as well. So those are things we've done. I mean, again, you can see there are people who are assigned to deal with each different discipline, batting, bowling, fielding, and things like that. And then there's feedback, where you would sit individually with the players one-on-one, and how they feel, where their headspace, where does he feel he needs help, and things like that. And also on the one-on-one, he can also speak about fellow colleagues and certain things that disrupt him in the team setup. But those are kept confidential by the team management, and they must work on those things. And he's dealt with those things. The players must be open. If there are things that really disrupt them, they must be able to speak one-on-one with the coach, where things will not be discussed with other players. But that, those issues must be dealt with. And that's what they would sit and do and concentrate on. Then the next aspect is we said one of the best conditioned team in world cricket is to work on the injuries, is to work on the mental toughness, speed and agility, strength, injury prevention, rehab, whatever is injured, recovery, hydration. You know, everyone has been asking for us, why is Asti not playing? Again, goes back to what he said, he wants to give opportunities to others. Dale Steyn came out with injury, we needed Dale Steyn to go in a match situation and having going straight to the World Cup or next series without scaling enough. Much as we know, Rashid is probably one of the best left bowlers currently, but we have to also give others an opportunity to also bowl in the test to see whether we have them, because it is a concern for us. Who else? Because Rashid will break down and who's going to bowl in the World Cup. Can't give a person that responsibility in a high tension game again, including a World Cup. And that's something we used to do to keep the same 11. Somebody will break down when you bring somebody in a semi final of a World Cup. And then you can't stand the pressure. And hence, the rotation and making sure all players were given different duties to see where they can perform and do those duties as well. It was nice to see them. Ronaldo came back as probably the best bowler in the subcontinent. It was very encouraging to see. He was even given to bowl at the death as well, to see whether he can bowl at the death. And then yesterday he bowled at the death, and he bowled well. So those are the kind of things that we're doing, is to try and exercise and make sure every player can perform and know what you can get from each one of them. Mental strength was one of the issues we discussed. And Henning Carricker is the person in charge of that. We have this token test which we have to accept first before we move on. We can't say we're not choking. We have choked. And therefore we need to do something about it. So we need to deal with that and know that people are calling us chokers. Yes, last night game is one of those games to test whether we're chokers or not. So the two night game was 2-all, playing away from home, different conditions, not our own conditions, and the team performed under the circumstances. That's what we want to see. longer they will go. The only way it will go is by them winning those critical games. Not by saying we are not joker, but you need to show at times. So big mass temperament, dealing with pressure and courage of conviction is what we are preaching. And then again, one other aspect that's very important in a World Cup team is public relations. You have to get the nation behind you. You have to get everybody behind you. And you will see, we'll be starting from next year, we're currently discussing from the ABC, to start marketing the Proteas and their World Cup campaign coming. They also have to avail themselves. Not about us telling them. They must tell themselves. They must be there and tell themselves. For us, it's very important that the image of the team changes. Hence, we have this cultural workshop for them to understand what they mean, what it means to represent the country. So when you meet people wherever, if somebody asking for a signature, stop and sign irrespective who that person is. Yes, you can't sign 20 or 30, but they must see you doing something. They must also realize you can't sign 30. But if you stop and sign one or two, the others who didn't get will appreciate that. It's just that people want to see those kind of things. So public relations is very good for us to do that. So Cass Naidu is in charge of that, making sure that we send stuff, positive stuff. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of negative stuff lately from the books written by his autobiography that released a few stuff. Unfortunately, it's things that we know. These are things that we're dealing with, and that has been having cultural workshop to deal with those divisions among the team. People must feel a unified team, and that's what we're trying to build in the team. Again, selection is going to be critical. In selection, consistency, honesty, the best team, a team that can win that particular game. And by the time we reach the World Cup, we would know exactly if we play against Pakistan, what kind of combination you want. If we play against India, what kind of combination you're looking for. And hence, you need to prepare for that. You can't keep one team like you. You need to start identifying their weaknesses and strengths so that when your combination and the World Cup comes, you've got the right combination depending on the position you're playing. Again, we said opportunities are important. People, they must be given opportunities. They can't select squad of 15 and only 11 players play. Make sure that everyone gets an opportunity, especially in the build-up to the World Cup, so you can understand who's there. Character is going to be key, competency and chemistry. Chemistry is very key to see the body language and how it works amongst themselves and the team. And whoever is playing has also shown the confidence that they want to win the World Cup. Administration, of course, comes from our side. These are little things that we never take into consideration, but they mean a lot. It's important to have the logistics done in time, the flights, the hotels, clothing, training, facilities, practice facilities, all those things must be taken care of. So all those things must be done up front. We send out our Ghulam Raja, who are there in India. We know exactly which hotels the team is playing in, where they stay, the ground they're going to play on. So we've done all of that already, and already also asked for practice facilities that we need. So all those things must be done, and the team is going up front before the World Cup. Compliance, team must comply to its values, the rules, team has seen its own rules. Team strategies, feedback, and overhead. And that's really what we've done today. And then implementation of the strategy, which I've said, we've done the conditioning and facilitation camp on the 2nd to the 6th of August at the HPC. And then the next was personal preparation with franchise coaches. So each player, we've gone to all the franchises. Much as they belong to CSA, they play for franchises as well. There is a program for each player in the squad and all those that are identified to play in the World Cup so that their coaches at franchise level try and play them in those roles as well and give them those particular roles to make sure they are ready during the World Cup. And that was done August and September 2010. And then there was an SAA tour to Sri Lanka, which is part of the selection process, where you've seen these young David Miller, your Ingram. They all went in the SAA team, and about five of those players now are currently in the national team side. And they were the performers in this team because they just come out of the subcontinent conditions and experienced subcontinent conditions. And that's where your Indians come from. your Peron, your Potomac, four of those players, Potomac, those four players were one game for us, just played in the subcontinent against Sri Lanka A. So they are used to those conditions. Because when I play World Cup in subcontinent conditions, so we played sent SAA to Bangladesh and to Sri Lanka this year, and they won both. And they've done exceptionally well. They were led by Kavi, who played very well himself. Currently playing very well as well. Okay, this tour was important to identify young talent in the continent, under continent conditions with specific positions, and this was achieved. We led the conditioning camp on the 30th of August to 5th September to make sure that they were well conditioned, and this was done in George. And again, this was a build sustainable fitness base in every individual.
The conditioning, you're doing what Gideon Sim has done, Skullrat.
No, no. We don't do Skullrat. All we did was to put them in extreme heat. It's important because the conditions are going to be extremely hot. So we needed something where they can go in extremely hot conditions. And we chose the area of George. And then we had this team cultural identity camp, which I spoke about, just to for them to understand what it means to play for the national team and what it means, what the Protea stands for. We also had a skills frustration and conditioning camp in October 2010 in Bloemfontein. You can see we've been trying to make sure that the team is visible throughout the country. So all the camps are not in one place. It was scattered throughout the country. And also we're trying to go to the warm areas, in particular Bloemfontein. We've also visited your Bloemfontein. And I think that it's taking over sports department for the new minister from Bloemfontein. And then as part of the preparation, we had the Zimbabwe series, another Pakistan series as well. Now we're going to be visited by India. India is coming to South Africa to play one-day series plus to play test series. But the one-day series is the key. We're playing five ODIs in India. So that's the last five ODIs we will have before the World Cup. So that's really our operation to share. And then after that, we'll have a frustration camp 2 days before we leave for India. After India, we'll be going to India. And that's really where we are, Chair, in preparation. The one other item you discussed, you asked whether interventions on transformation, targets. Chair, as I said, I will come and talk to you about the strategy. For us, transformation is a process that's unfolding throughout our structure. It's not something we only do for the World Cup. So right through the year, we monitor and push transformation. Yeah.
No. Hey, thank you, Gerald. You see, Gerald, transformation is what you have done with the 4 points. And it's transformation. You groom these boys, they come up equally, you give them an opportunity, they win Sri Lanka, they win and those games, and then boost their confidence. And he said, now, they must come on an equal basis on merit. Exactly what you have done to those boys. That is what you're talking about on the transformation. Not the end level, but I said I zoom in there. Thank you very much, Gerard. Thank you so much. Members are going to ask a few questions for clarity and other interesting clarity too. I'm noting Cora, Suka, Mackenzie, in that order. Oh, let me start first. Mackenzie, JJ, and the last one is Tandy. Yes, Cora.
Thank you.
thank you, CEO.
You see, CEO, I think the work which is put in, the unity of the team is of paramount importance. And this engagement which are doing on one-on-one, I think it's some of these things that happened earlier, we will not see the book of gifts. Honestly. Because that book is concerning when you read it. And to me, on the one-on-one, a person at least can say, this is hurting me, this is worrying me. Because that book, I don't know if it's true, but let's read the book. When you come to speak to us about transformation, things are coming up, but I'm just concerned about the betting. There's no African light who comes through. It's only bowlers who come through, really. And it wants to look like rugby, where Africans can only play wing and no other position. So we need to look at that broader so that we have everybody there in that 11. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also want to appreciate the presentation. Very clear, especially for me when it does the KPA, because that's how you measure your team, whether you are succeeding or not. So look into your KPIs, and I must appreciate it. This will be having something to measure your success, and I wish all the best of luck to the two teams. Maybe this chapter thing to inherit as a norm and standard for the country. Maybe we need to ask the ECOT to transcend it to other sporting codes, to own it up as a national symbol, not to beat about the bush. I think I like what you're saying. And maybe also that explanation why ECOT is very important for the unity of the country in the sporting codes. Very critical. I just want to check something. That's a small thing here. I know Tadoko has spoken about the one-on-one to avoid any temptation. I'm just thinking aloud now about the bookmakers. How do you avoid your players to be tempted into falling in prey? As you have the experience of one of the legends who found himself in that unfortunate situation, Hansi, you remember that. I'm not sure whether you are having a team doctor, you have a team security, so that they check or surveillance. I'm not sure. I just want to be schooled in that so that we don't have the same scenario in this issue. Because these people are very manipulative. You find yourself unintentionally being in prey of that if you're not schooled. So do you have measures in place to avoid that? The other issue is, you know, you seem to be visionary. You are saying you must stay ahead of the game, especially when you analyze the opposition team, your counterpart, of which I also commend that chapter, because you cannot be equal with your players or with your team when you are leading. So this is the best strategy, chapter 10. So otherwise, and I'm also impressed when you say it means sport is very expensive, very much expensive, when you have to have a mentor for an individual to adapt him or her to a particular style of play for that player so that he can connect with the broader team. It's very expensive. I'm just making that comment. My last request, is to request the team. Maybe to revolve, to go around the country. We've got 9 provinces. There are those that are seriously indebted with sports, especially with particular sports. If I think that off my head, I'm just thinking in the metro where I come from, Walmart, as you one might know, strong in cricket and golf. So if you take some of your players to mentor in that area to play, to visit, but also not overlooking other provinces. where you will find a team going towards that direction in the nine provinces. I would wish that you visit all nine provinces, especially those that are very disadvantaged in being exposed and justified to tell those provinces from that. I know you didn't mention that to say you go around and try to unearth that talent where you are unable to tell it. But surely you've got a bigger role to play when it comes to publicity. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, I'm actually happy with the presentation, especially the fact that all of the players are part of the team and it's not 11-man team, because I believe that was the downfall of cricket in the critical moments. You knew that 11 will play, and it was good to see now Cullis was sitting out. Graham Smith was sitting out. Dale Steyn was sitting out, and so on. So that's good for the game and other players to come through. I think that will help a lot to in the success in future. I believe that the IPL, the fact that our teams and our players are part of the IPL and did well, Warriors did exceptionally well in the IPL and so on. So that played a role also to see more of our players. The visit to George, yes, I want to go along with Comrade Tsuka that the players must be visible in all our areas. George, yes, but even the more rural areas of the SWD, I mean, I'm from Bowood West and I know I've been carrying cricket there for the past 10 years. No cricket facilities. My hockey is the cricket, the supplier of cricket there. So the rural areas is for me still lacking behind. It's good. It was good to see Makaya from rural areas, but there's more rural areas in our country and where diamonds or gems are still unchecked, yes. So that, to me, I know the presentation is for the 2011, but we must have more vision for the whole of the country, and that's my actual problem. But otherwise, I enjoyed last night's game, especially the bowling of Peterson at the end. Really, I was impressed with his performance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Joe, thanks for your presentation. Just for me, Mackay and Tini, farewell game for the Proteas on the 9th. I assume that's going to be at Moses Mabhida. You didn't say the venue.
Moses Mabhida.
Okay, that's great. Just regarding your preparation, I think you've covered most of the bases, and it's fascinating to see that you brought in about 18 players, I think you've said, and that's what you need to have. You mentioned about the subcontinent and some of those youngsters coming through, and I think that's been borne out. But I would also like to say that the example of the Dolphins in the last 2 years, in terms of transformation, and how to run cricket at a provincial level and bring through youngsters has been absolutely refreshing. Now, prior to that, we had the Peterson incident, you know, which alienated various groupings of people in this country. And it's absolutely refreshing that you've got a professional person in charge of that now, down at the Dolphins, and these youngsters are starting to come through. And I see a guy like Lewis Bosman, who I hope is still in the mix for the World Cup, who's an absolutely fantastic talent. And if we can nurture that, and I think when we talk about transformation and opportunity, I think the chairperson was talking about that. I mean, there is a young man that can be absolutely special. And some of those little shortcomings he might have, if we can iron them out, I'm telling you, he can become a household name worldwide. That's my own personal feeling. And David Miller and those guys. So I think what's happening there at the Dolphins and that mix of people. people from all the different races. It's fantastic. Okay, so I think that's very good. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, when I look at the side in the Zimbabwe series and in the Pakistan series, to me there are two huge weaknesses currently. And I know it's still early, but the fielding is not like it used to be. In two of those games, we dropped catches. In one game, we dropped three catches in the last two overs and went on to lose the game. I mean, that would never have happened 3 years ago. So I don't know what's going on with the fielding, but it's just not as sharp as it used to be. And then the bowling, Gerald, seems to be a problem for a while now. Parnell came onto the scene, went to the UK, and blew them away. And he was our best bowler, if you remember correctly, at 19 years old. He's a young Eastern Cape boy. But I don't know if there's been a lack of confidence. I know he got an injury. But, I mean, here was a guy, no one could score off him. So I'm sort of worried about, you know, where he is. Also, there seems to have been, in these revelations in these books, there seems to have been a tendency that there was a clique running the Protea side. And I don't know if that's true or not. But I think what you've done to have one-on-one, as it's been mentioned, and to get everyone to buy into the ethos of what the nation is trying to produce, I think is very, very helpful. And I think that clicks, and if they are true, are not helpful to anybody. I don't think they are at all. Finally, my last question is on security in the subcontinent. And I know this is an old topic. We just had the Commonwealth Games. The chairperson went there and tested his luck in dangerous circumstances. But how are the conditions security-wise? Because, you know, India is, the whole region is a hotbed of activism right now, and it does make one worry about it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a few comments. The first one, I must just say I enjoyed the game as well last night. But I just want to start with the psychological part of it, to say that I can see you speak about the artichokers, and I'll be glad to. That must be the first focus, because what I'm facing this is that one might think that the person has been in the game, but psychologically, there are variations. I think you are well aware of that. And South Africa has been a country that has always been noted, the notion that psychology is not important, especially in the game environment. So I would be very happy for the mental preparedness and psychological preparedness to be the issue that is more on as a priority. Because we have a situation of unprovoked arousal, and we know how the reaction to that. And going further to say that also the unfamiliar environment that they will be in, it would have there will be an elemental impact to it. And as Honorable Mackenzie said, that especially India, I was there also recently, it's just a security, people are just scared. In a way, even the people that are there of terrorism and all names. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying players know the environment that they're going in, it will have an impact on their psychological and mental preparedness. So they must be very prepared mentally. And also, I know you have your nutritionist, but as you know, the environment is certainly another situation that I can explain. But I want to go to the issue of PR. I know we did very well on the Basana with our playing inside the camp. But it does not limit us to go even further for the current team that is playing outside. I want to also agree with Suga to say that there are areas that are very low-down before. They have been the ones declared by the former president, low-down areas. And it would be my wish that cricket will reach those areas. That's where also talent identification will come out. You know, let's not only concentrate and say, you guys in Tanzania, and you have reached a certain place. You know, let's go further. Even there, and not have familiar places. Negative publicity will always be there, but I think when there's a team spirit environment, all those things will change. It depends on how the PR is pushed by your organization. I think that's why it will be very, very important. If you need really out of support, you have to touch everything. every stakeholder, every I'll call it constituency, what I call it constituency, you know. And it will be important as well for those things, for us to say that I know I've also heard those highlights about the books. We don't know whether they're true or not. That relations between all of you must improve. You know, even one-on-one are very important in this space to say that, so that every person can ventilate whatever that is that they are not happy about. Because now this notion of peace comes from those who are unhappy. But if they're given the opportunity, then you won't have those environments. Well, you might find that whoever wrote the book was not happy about something, never given an opportunity to speak about it. Now, he comes with a good environment. I don't know. I cannot really comment much on that. Administration-wise, you know, I don't want a situation where, like one federation where there were issues. You know, I don't want to name it, but can there be a consistent as well as much professional doing as well? But team cohesion and team spirit, not only amongst the team, but as well as among the management, among the technical staff and everyone. And I believe we'll come back with that as you see. Thank you.
So that last point,
just a small one, just that. You know, Umakai and the barrier, the lead by example, coming from a disadvantage to become an icon for South Africa. Now, moving forward, he's going to retire. And I appreciate what Cricket South Africa is doing by putting him there to be part of that team that is going to celebrate the 150 years with the Indian community. But I just want to check that thing. Maybe I'm taking from another point, from other sporting codes, where if a person itself can do so much or a team so much, there will be a benefit gain dedicated to that particular person. Because this one is just included because of this military activity, which I also appreciate. I just want to check whether will there be a benefit game for Makaya by Cricket South Africa, so that it is dedicated to him, that it can go down the annals of history to say once upon a time, and we'll bring this in terms of technical retirement. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and answer most of the questions that are here.
I'll try and answer most of them, Chair. And if I've missed anyone, please feel free to ask me. There's a lot of them. I'll start with MP Kora. Concern about Africans coming through betting-wise. I think we've had a few names already touted. Lord Sportsman. Few other youngsters coming through, your Babumas and others. Yes, they're not in the national setup yet, but Tammy himself is betting very well normally. Captaining at times when Alvira goes, like Alvira's now going to play test cricket, he will captain the Lions. There are a few other betters coming through now. Again, one of our weaknesses, which when I come back next time to speak to you on our strategy, you will hear that we've acknowledged some of our weaknesses. And one of our glaring weaknesses in our transformation was the speed of transformation amongst black Africans was very slow. We've acknowledged that, and we have started to take steps on that. We are not scared at cricket to relate to black Africans as black Africans. We differentiate between black and black African because the black African is the majority of this country, and unfortunately they have been left out of cricket for a long time. We've acknowledged that weakness. When we talk about the strategy 2011-2015, I will talk to you about our strategies to try and remedy that situation. And also talk to you about some of the worries you have on the betting front. Which you will see shortly in our 18s and under 19, a lot of youngsters coming through, betters coming through. But one of our weaknesses as well was to communicate. We've always concentrated on the Proteas and said nothing about what's happening with our structures below.
party there. I've not given you names. It is his work in progress. It is a concern for us as well. Not only betting wise, but all over. Not only betting. Administratively, we are worried about betting African in cricket. That's one of, came out as one of our weaknesses when we did our review last year. We are addressing that issue. And then from MP Sukar, the concerns around bookmakers and betting in cricket, I think we have an ongoing program. All our players, we do not take anything for granted. We have it from all our academies. And before they go, we always call the anti-corruption unit to talk to them as well. For each series, irrespective of how many times it gets hammered on them, they have to hear it before they go, because temptations happen at every given opportunity. So we don't leave any stones unturned there. Before any tour, they are addressed on do's and don'ts on a tour. And they travel every time with the COP that is with them right through. Even their hotels, they will always get one floor, which will have security. Something that happened to Pakistan yesterday will never happen with our team at all. Never. No one would be without signing after a certain time, so we would know all players are in. You can't go to a game and not know what one of our players may be. It's impossible. Not in the systems we put in place. So our team knows a capture time, when to go to bed. Once they're in the hotel room, you don't even have to worry what they do, but they can't leave their rooms after a certain period. And there's a COP where you sit with them right through and monitor them. So we have, in fact, going to I'll ask the second question also asked. I think it was asked by somebody else asked the same question on security. So that's really taken care of. And the conditions, subcontinent conditions, as I've said up front, we have exposed all our players to subcontinent conditions. None of our players, unless it's somebody else who's going to come up now because the door is not closed. Somebody spoke about Lord Bosman. They all are aware, in fact, Lord is in the setup. He knows himself. Was spoken to. He's currently in the T20 setup. He has been told what he needs to do to be in the one day international side. Playing there for Dolphins, he knows exactly what he has to do. And that was communicated to him. So he is not out of it. We're all excited to see him score us. I think all of us believe he's got the potential. On his day, he can hit any side apart. Between him and Graham, I'm fed, I hold him record in T20 cricket. So really hope he'll come up. Fortunately, also he had a few injuries, which of course stopped him from progressing. But on the security side, we're comfortable that we address that issue at all times. We don't take anything for granted. Whether they are colored straight 10 years or not, 20 years doesn't matter. They all have to sit down before a tour, sign it, they get told the do's and don'ts, and they must sign off on it. So if anything happens, we can at least say that CSA has done its duty to still speak to them and tell them what to do and what not to do. Even when they get phone calls from bookmakers, they know exactly what to do, when to use phone. Their phones also have taken time, are taken and kept, all of them. After the capture time, they're not supposed to have their cell phones with them. They all are collected and be in their rooms without cell phones. So there's a lot that we do on that front. And then the request of the team to go around the country, we are really encouraging. As I said, this is one of the things that I speak about in our strategy going forward. In fact, now we've just gone around to the 12 affiliates. We were preaching and asking them to please utilize, because all players contractually have to do appearances. We rely really on the affiliates to request the players to appear. Of course, it's dependent on whether they're playing or not. But if they're available, all of them, when they sign their contract, they have to sign a number of appearances per year. And for us, we want them to finish their appearances. I was requesting to all the affiliates to make sure that all the national players have utilized their appearances, because it's important for them to be seen at those levels. So when they have programs and things like that, they have to do that by our office. So all of them now are aware of that, and they must request. So, unfortunately, we can't. Players don't know where to go on their own. It has to be coordinated, and it appeals to affiliates to make use of that. George,
before it was dangerous, they are going to meet two men prince day.
I have visited ISWD, so they are aware of the program, and we've asked the question them to please make sure that they make use of the fear and the plan. The retirement and benefit came from Makayantini. Makayantini was given a benefit season. And cricket with every other players get after 10 years, they get a benefit season, which they utilize to maximize revenues. So he has already received his benefit season, like all others. Like Paul Song, Paul of now left afterwards, but he has received a benefit season already when he makes funds 10 years. So Makai has already received his benefit season. So there will not be a fake benefit game, but he will. This game will be his last game to say goodbye to South Africa. But it's not a benefit. All of rural areas. Andy McKenzie, what was?
Bowling and fielding
were two concerns. In fact, on the Zimbabwe and Pakistan series, you've noted fielding and bowling. We dropped catches, that's correct. We're all concerned about it. Before they meet India now, they will go through that. We have, as I said, we have specialist consultants on each specific field, and Jonty heads up the fielding side of things. So he will now work on those things, because he probably would have seen things that I've done now. And some of it is really part of fitness and the humidity in Dubai would also be part of, would contribute to that. But it's not an excuse. They have definitely not fielded well. And bowling, of course, is a concern. I've said up front that we still are worried about. But Parnell has come through a lot of injuries. Parnell and Dale Dane are normally your death bowlers. And hence, we're trying to find two other death bowlers because of their injuries. Don't want to say if Parnell is not playing, what happens? At least now we've seen Rafi Tharoor can do it. We've seen Sotoli outside doing it. So that's what they really worry about, because they will break down. Something will happen to one of them. Parnell, I think, is going to take another 3-4, another month. He needs to play a lot of cricket. He hasn't played for almost 6 months, 7 months with a lot of cricket. So it's going to take time to get his rhythm back. And as you can see from his run-up, he's really a rhythm bowler. So he needs to get his rhythm to really constantly get back to his form. So he needs to play a lot of cricket, which probably will be given to him now when he comes back. But those issues you're raising are correct. The issue around the clicks, really, if there were clicks, we have a system in place to guard against that. I would not say there were not clicks or not. I can't reveal certain issues. We've also had our one-on-ones with a lot of players and management last year when we were concerned about certain issues, and one of them was not to win the World Cup. A lot of things were taken concern to us at the board, which you are aware of, and hence we've put down some of the measures we put down now to address some of those. I've discussed the security in the subcontinent. And Pete Sandoz is worried more about that we must prioritize the psychological part of it. I think we've admitted that. Graham himself, in his video I've just shown you now, speaks about we have everything else, but do we really have the character? It is about mental preparedness and toughness, really. And that's what we are addressing with them now to be ready and assist them in that. Spoken about unfamiliar environment. I do not believe if we have probably one or two players in the squad, but the current 18 to 20 players that are in the ODI and 20 sides that might be going to the World Cup, the bulk of them have taught the subcontinent, whether via SAA or via, because this tournament is not played in India only, it's played India, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. We send our 18 to play in this year in the subcontinent, in particular Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, because the World Cup will be played in Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and India. And most of them have played in those conditions. and the bulk of the team really has been taught in India. So as much as it is a challenging environment, as you know, India is a really challenging environment. It just be a shock to your system if you've never been to India. We've tried to expose both of these players to those conditions. And the PR issue about the nodal areas, as I said, again, it's up to the affiliates. The players will be availed by us through their contracts, and they know that they have to do the appearance. And I must say, most of them really want to do that. Unfortunately, it has to be coordinated so that they can go to those other areas you mentioned. And of course, we need to improve team relations between management and the team. I think that is really what we've addressed. But the entire cultural session was not only aimed at the players themselves. The entire management team was part of that session, because they're part of the team. When you talk team, you also talk the management team as part of the team. So they're part of that as well. I hope I've answered all the questions. If I've missed anyone, please feel free to ask. Thank you.
You have done very well. You can fish off your thanks. Now, you've done very well, Gerald, but thank you very much. The last point that you talked about, I think it makes all of us feel a little bit comfortable that the boys have gone to Bangladesh. They know the conditions there. They have played there. They know India. They know the conditions they have played there. They know Sri Lanka. They played there and all that. Because if you introduce them when they have never been in such a place, they will just be uncomfortable like any other person during the World Cup, not the World Cup, the Commonwealth Games in India. There is nothing wrong in India there, but you will just be scared of all the things that people are saying around India and what is going on there, about Musharraf and all these other things that are there. But it's good that you're making boys to be used to those environments. But I want you to note, Gerard, this thing that I'm going to make as comments, and then we'll close this session and get another presentation. Firstly, we want to say to cricket, the last time when you were here with us, you have not started yet with giving opportunity to other players of the majority of the population of this country, blacks, to begin to come to cricket, make that undertaking. But I was happy to observe, and even if you have not done very well, and at least there was a concerted effort, because you could see the names of Bosman, you could see Zondeki coming in, you could see Otsotsobe coming in. You can go up to 6, 7, 8 of the black boys that you can mention in that team. And it clearly says you are beginning to give them chance. And they are going to take over that cricket, I can tell you. Because you would give them a chance and you give them training just like anybody else. And then that opportunity that you give it to them. And that Makayandini Academy is going to make those boys to come up there in force. And I can tell you, the evolution of that team is very eminent. Because people are saying, but why, when you talk about transformation, you don't talk about football? Football was never under segregation. Football and cricket were those who were calling for boycott and isolate South Africa, so that South Africa must die. Rugby has never called for the isolation of South Africa. It's never done that. FIFA banned South Africa from the international stage. Cricket banned South Africa from international stage, so that at least we cannot participate, and they said we cannot participate without South Africa. And now what you do with an entity that itself has been a racist entity, and when you say to them, please, let us make this entity something that all our people belong to it, Then he said, no, transform football. And when Blatter and International World say we must ban South Africa to play in FIFA, and then late after 1994, we were accepted in the international world. They pledged solidarity with us. And there was never a person like Craig Wachter who said, on my dead body, Craven, who said, on my dead body would ever a black person put a springbok on his chest. It was a curse. And nobody would feel proud. Nobody would ever feel proud from the black to have a springbok on his chest when it was a curse for the black people. So what cricket is doing is exactly what it's supposed to do on how South Africa should look like and deliberately build this country. And for all of us, we must leave it a better country when we all go. The other thing is the invitation for the 100 years of this historic day in KwaZulu-Natal. I think cricket have done very well in honoring that day and make it to be 100 days and be visible there, to say to the people who were the first to invite you to go and play in their country when you were coming out of isolation. And they were the first to isolate South Africa. Go and say to them, today we are a nation among the nations, and therefore we welcome you, and they're going to play side by side with you and enjoy your 100 years of being with us in this country. And I think these members are going to be there. It will be just one of the extravagance that we are going to enjoy in KwaZulu-Natal. But the unity of the team, as members have spoken about it, is very important. The unity of the team is very important. You see, Gerard, when we went to the World Cup in France, one African newspaper was saying, Utana Kompela dra a Springbok train, no hat. That was an African say drive the Springbok train Nohan in Frankreich. I don't know what people are expecting me to do when Smith and many of those boys are South Africans in the first place. It was not through them that the rugby has become what it was before. And it was demanded on me as the chair of this committee in this country, South Africa, in the National Assembly, to be part of the South African team that is going to represent South Africa in France. So, with this team also, we will be part of this team and go and see, and be part of the cricket team to go and play there. Not because of any other team, because firstly, it is required of us to support that team as a South African team. With all the shortcomings and all other things, first, it is a South African team. So we must rally around that team and support the team. The issue of the cabals and all those other things, please guard against those things. Those are things that are destroying the team. And the unity of the team is destroyed by cabals. People who know that without me, there will be no cricket. When I am not fielded, there will be no cricket. And the cabal will always work in a block in such a way that it deliberately pushing other people out and isolating them so that it must be us alone and then who have the claim and the best right to play cricket. It must not be like that. And you must guard against that because it is a cancer that is going to destroy that team if you don't guard against it. The mental conditioning, they've spoken about the mental conditioning. I'm here about that. The team that has to go around. You see, Gerard, you have made a cricket team during the World Cup in South Africa on the Thai road. You know, Thai road is so hard. Everywhere you see those kids playing and spinning on the tie route, and then Ubelamasiki is with eight. What is greater than this? It is the extent that they were taken up by this World Cup and then enjoying in a cricket. So when you do a campaign for the country to be behind the national team, we request you to go to somewhere where other children are likely not in their lifetime could ever see the team. It must not be throughout the country, but it must be one or two deliberate, isolated places where those children there must see their heroes. And then you will be beginning to mobilize people of this country behind the national team. I can tell you that. Because we will also, before the president could instruct us, say, no, we have the cricket Friday. But fortunately, it's me only who have the cricket blazer and the tie. So the others, you must give them the t-shirts, I must remain with the blazer and the tie.
Say, you're the only person outside cricket that has. I don't have the blazer.
I'm privileged. Thank you. So the going around of the team in mobilizing the people, we will do that. if it has been read in Parliament three times during the budget, definitely it is declared. The marketing of the World Cup, you have to work very hard and up the stake so that everywhere it must be seen this country, the team is going to represent us during the World Cup. I was fortunate too in this group of people that I was part of the cricket in the West Indies. And those boys were just impeccable. In those islands there with a big ship that travels almost the whole day to go to 50 kilometers area, it travels the whole day. But it was very, very exciting. I didn't see, it was for the first time to see such a big ship. That takes about 1,500 people. And travel very slow. And then going to St. Helena, to this, and that, during the World Cup. Enjoyed the World Cup. But South Africans will be proud of South Africa if they can go to such countries. Very proud. And if they have never come across poverty, they must go to those countries and see what poverty is. And then you'll be very proud of what South Africa is made of. I can tell you that. And South Africans must begin to go out and begin to appreciate this country. But for as long as you have not gone out, you'll never appreciate it. In India, I was having nerves because every car just comes this side and push you this side and comes this side. I could not. But finally, I had to adjust in the way they drive and little things. And somebody jumps on the motorbike. You think that if he can fall, the car is going to walk on him. And you'll appreciate what South Africa is all about. And then if you go to those countries, and the West Indies is a nice place, Barbados, St. Helena, and all this. But oh my goodness, go and look at the standard of living there. And it's shocking. So say thanks to South Africa. But people of this country do not appreciate that. They are insult to the government of the day with this kind of a thing. Those people are sleeping on the trees. There's no cakes like houses that are given to the people in those countries. No cakes like houses that are given. And staying outside in the shops, others have just made trees, make a web of trees, they stay there. You only see a small coming in there that there are people staying there. Shocking type of life. But in the honeymoon that you have in this country, you don't appreciate it. General, the provinces is a problem. Cricket South Africa is doing very well on transformation. I don't know whether it's a question of the constitution with provinces, because the problem with the constitution of this federation, Gerard, is that South African Rugby Union has a federation, has a constitution, but the Free State Rugby Union has a constitution that undermines the national federation. and then they say that they are autonomous. You can't have a national federation. And when a provincial federation is becoming a little independent territory and undermines the national federation. Now, when you ask them to deal on issues of transformation, it becomes a choice. It is not something that is directive from the constitution, national constitution, that transcends to the province. And also in province, in my province, there is a problem there. In KwaZulu-Natal, there's a problem there. In KwaZulu-Natal, it can't be. Cricket is for Indians in KwaZulu-Natal. It cannot be. And in the Free State, cricket cannot be for white people. It can't be. I'm saying it cannot be the case. So I think we must work on those things. Cricket must not have a reflection of the provinces where people are staying. When you are in the Western Cape, you don't see blacks there, and cricket becomes an issue of color and white. It can't be. You're not building a country, you're not building a nation by doing that. Because others will always feel that we don't belong there, and it is something that belongs to other people. And that's not what you're doing. I don't know how are you going to deal with that, but as we come back, we will meet with the provincial union and yourself, and we must have share this vision that we have. Whether are they subscribing to that vision that we have? If they are subscribing, it means you're going to have a wonderful cricket in the country, because you're going to make them have a buy-in in your vision and the mission, and therefore they'll be obliged to take what you, to take it you from you. We are going to invite the team before it goes to the World Cup to Parliament. Just like rugby, and we'll also invite Banyana Banyana before they go to Germany for the World Cup. Because that gives them also another morale and say, Parliament and the country are in support of what they're doing, and therefore we live in this country confidently with the powers that might be in this country supporting us and say, goodbye, go and represent this country. So it's part of conditioning that we are going to contribute to in making that team to understand that the 400 honorable members of the National Assembly that represent the population of this country, black and white, are in support of that country and they're behind that team, and then and wish the team good luck to the World Cup. So thank you very much for sharing this very valuable information for us. We wanted to hear that because we could not just pretend that we don't know that you're going to play the World Cup, and therefore what are the challenges that you have around preparation. If there are challenges that are there with preparation, we must go to Lottery and say, Lottery, cricket has a problem, assist just like you used to assist anybody else, and this is what they want. So we're happy about that. But if there are other challenges that are there, I'm a phone call away from you, and then talk, and then talk also to the young energetic minister and say there are challenges that are there with cricket, and then I think minister we need to intervene so that you must help them. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks very much, Javad. We are listening now. Thanks. The next president, the Love Life. Yes. It's you, Love Life.
Okay.
Yes. We are giving over to you. You want to sit there and put it on the. Okay. Go and change seat with Gerald there and sit where he's sitting.
No, they leave our money behind, Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's kick off. Let's kick off. We've got another test session. We're going to drive very fast. Fasten your seatbelt. Thank you. I think you've been registered yourself in Martin or that doesn't happen. If that doesn't happen, please let know who you are so that we don't say that the presenter of Lab Life. That's not your name. Thank you. Honorable Chair. And,
acting
Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. I would like to thank this opportunity, and without wasting any time, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Mandla Mzuli, the CFO of Lab Life, and my team is Scott Bennett, Director of Lab Life Programs, Games, and Youth Development, and Lisa, who's also in the same portfolio as Head of Lab Life Games and Youth Development. It is important that I'm sure you see that the CEO is missing, and I would like to apologize on behalf of our CEO. When this meeting was called, she was already on a plane to go and fundraise abroad. So I would like to just apologize on her behalf. It was not intentional. Thank you very much. And then, just to kick off this presentation, I would like to just, explain the role that Lab Life plays in terms of governance, because I think this is one of the NGOs that get the lion's share in government funding. So I would like to just go briefly into governance, because the members of this portfolio committee will have to be taken to confidence that public funds are properly accounted by this massive NGO in South Africa. And we have a board. Our board is working on pro bono, so they don't get paid. So you can see that we get all the commitment that is needed, because they are not driven by money. It is chaired by Paul Makwana, who is currently the chairperson of ESCOM. And there are various members. The deputy chairperson is Basisana Kumalo. And then we have Professor Linda Rechte, the head of antenatal division at HSRC. We have also Renee Dalyat, who is also a professor and lecturer at UCT. And then we have Kole Gamzondeki, who sits in various boards, a chartered accountant by profession. We have Fikile, who is also the CFO at Denel. So, et cetera, et cetera. So you can see that this is a diverse board that is independent, that is not driven by any financial interest in running the organization and in making sure that Love Life succeeds in its effort to reduce new infections on HIV. And then within that, we have subcommittees. And one of the most important subcommittees that I just going to talk about is the Audit and Risk Subcommittee that ensures that the board as well as the management accounts for the funds properly in line with the PFMA, King 3, and all the necessary statutory requirements in this country. And then we have also adopted King 3 in our constitution to ensure that, you know, accountability is not just, you know, based on PFMA, but it's also incorporating best practice. Over and above that, our reporting is done annually, and for the first time now, we started also publicizing our annual financial statements to make sure that all our activities, you know, are fully accounted for, with all the financial commitments being transparent, and we have provided copies to this house. I think they will be distributed later. And one more important point is just to share with the committee how much do we get from the three departments, because there has been a lot of misunderstanding that Love Life gets all this money, we don't know what they're doing with this money and all of that. From the Department of Sport, we get 27 million rand. And then from the Department of Health, we get 73 million rand. And then from the Department of Social Development, we get 40 million rand. So as you can see, it's a sizable, you know, amount, and it requires a lot of transparency as well as public accountability, one of the critical issues that we try to drive towards. So what is important in this house is that the money that we utilize, that we get from government, is utilized for programs, and that is why we're here today, to share with you what programs are we running. And you will understand and appreciate the size of this organization. When you look at the money that we receive, we always beg for more, and nobody understands us because of the size and the reach that we have in various communities. So without wasting any time, I would like to give my team, Lisa, an opportunity to present so that everybody understands exactly what we do and how we do things.
Thank you, Mandla. I think this was the mic that didn't work, or is this one working? This is the other one. Thank you to the House, Honorable Chair, committee members, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'd also like to just introduce Gwen September, who is our PPL in the Western Cape province. And the two young gentlemen with him is our groundbreakers, that's our volunteer corps, part of our volunteer corps that serves our organization. Is the national...
what is the
PPL? Provincial? Provincial Programs Leader, sir.
Okay.
And our groundbreakers are known as GBs. Okay. So, as the Love Life Games Manager, I'm just going to take you through basically our program stuff, from what exactly are we doing within the games department. And the committee requested us to look at how we contribute to mass participation within South African sports context. And if we're looking at the presentation in terms of what is Love Life, Love Life drives HIV prevention, especially amongst teenagers. And we're doing this with a high-sustained media intervention platform. Like we supplement an uncut magazine in the Sunday Times. We advertise on local and community radio news stations on what Love Life is doing and the programs that we are doing. And we also are very much involved in community-level outreach and also doing a lot of programs on promoting healthy HIV-free living amongst young South African teens. Love Life's approach is basically to look at how do we work with the innate optimism of young people and also how do we promote holistic lifestyle approaches throughout various programs in schools and also within the communities in our Y centers. We promote HIV-free lifestyle for young people, and then looking specifically at youth leadership, where we train young people between the ages 18 to 24 years old to become leaders within the communities, like the Groundbreaker and Impinchi program. And when we look at young people around their self-motivation and their aspirations around life. In terms of Love Life's partnerships nationally, I'm talking here specifically about the games, because Love Life has many over nine programs that they run, and the Love Life Games is just but one of the programs that we run to look at HIV prevention, but using sports and recreation as a platform. So now what we have done is Love Life, and specifically with the Games Department, has been looking and has been deliberate in the outreach nationally to look at how do we consolidate our program and how do we work our partnerships at a national level. And as you can see, we've been active with Sports and Recreation South Africa since a year ago, a year and a half ago. They came to our Love Life Games training in March 2010 from the school sports section to come and talk about the relationship between sports and Love Life. We are attending also regular MinMec meetings to give updates on an annual on a quarterly basis what exactly are we doing. Also, I've attended the sports in the SRSA annual conference, where there was a lot of federations as well, and Love Life did a presentation just to clear the way forward in terms of also extending our support to federations and our willingness to be able to work with them. Also, there was numerous attempts to build closer relationships with sports federations, like I just mentioned, and then we all obviously have Department of Basic Education, Department of Social Development, and Department of Health as our key partners, as Manla mentioned. And then we're really looking at how do we approach HIV prevention through comprehensively looking at all of these different social clusters. That is at a national level. So, but in after the national training and also looking at how are we going to be deliberate in strengthening our partnerships within the provinces, each province then had to go out and then went to look at how are they going to really strengthen their partnerships in the provinces. And as you can see here, Eastern Cape, for instance, they have a relationship, starting to form a relationship with DISREC at the provincial level. They're also part of PROCOC. They in the MED participation program in three of their regions. They're also working very closely with the Department of Education in their school enrichment program. And then when we're looking at the local municipalities, how are they really looking at venue and facilities, and how do we utilize municipalities in helping us around, for instance, transportation of young people. And then also looking at how do we align, for instance, with other NGOs and really trying to see how we can combine our programs, for instance, in this case, grassroots soccer and in SAPA. And then so through all of this, I won't go through all of this, but for instance, like Free State, for instance, again, working closely with SIREG there, also looking at working closely with the University of the Free State in venues, for instance, securing of venues when we're hosting our games, for instance, at the district, regional, and provincial level. And for instance, the university is instrumental in hosting the provincial Love Life games for us. Also looking at the South African National Defense Force, again, how do we ensure that we work and reach collaboration in utilizing their facilities. Gauteng, again, DSR at all levels. They've been very much involved now recently with the MES participation Indigenous Games that was held in Johannesburg. Also looking again, how do they strengthen their role with municipalities? and then also the University of Johannesburg will be hosting the Love Life Games in Johannesburg for them. Looking at KwaZulu-Natal, for instance, now just recently, the MOU with the provincial Department of Sports and Recreation will be signed at the provincial level. Also, they're working closely with DBE. And here, DBE has been really instrumental in them also working with disabled schools and Elson schools. So KZN has been really doing a lot of work around schools with disabilities. And then obviously they also working again with municipalities and how do they get municipalities on board. Same thing basically in Limpopo, provincial participation with DSR, ProCorp and DISCorp working, they're working with them at that level. They're strengthening the MPP program, and then obviously looking again at DBE, the school enrichment program. And then they're working with another NGO called SCORE, and then also at the University of Limpopo, they'll be hosting the Love Life Games, provincial Love Life Games in December. When we look at Mpumalanga, the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport, DKS, is also very much involved. Also, the 2010 office want to extend their legacy in Mpumalanga, and they've been really working closely with Love Life in the outreach programs and as part of their legacy programs. The Department of Education, again, instrumental, and likewise, how do we get municipalities on board? For instance, in Mpumalanga, they're now negotiating, for instance, with McDonald's to see how do we, through the at the provincial Love Life Games, can get a reduced price on meals, for instance. But that is then through the work of the 2010 officers and their involvement during the World Cup. And looking at Northern Cape, again, same thing, provincial participation, a DBE school enrichment program, and then working closely with the Department of Health in terms of the HIV counseling and testing campaign. Northwest Province, again, DSR at all levels, the MED participation program partnerships, municipalities, and DBE. And in Western Cape, has been head over the years, formed strong ties with DKS, the Department of Education, Municipalities, Correctional Services, DSD, Department of Health, DCIS, and the disability sector. And this is basically just to showcase basically how each province has really been deliberate in their outreach and forming partnership with key stakeholders over the last year and a half. And that we're really trying not to work in isolation. And especially when we're looking at the partnership with the Department of Education, it's really looking at, because we always got a flag that we're working in isolation, we're not streamlining our calendars. And this was really a direct attempt to look at how are we going to streamline our calendars, for instance, how are we not double dipping, how are we working more smarter and reaching the same objectives. So when we look at the objectives of the Love Life Games specifically, it has three main components. The first one is that basically that we want to reach in and out of school youth between the ages of 12 to 19. In terms of the objectives, it looks specifically at training. This training refers to how do we educate our adults, or what we call our adult allies. And this adult allies is made out of teachers, federation people that's really passionate within the community about sports development and about youth development. And how do we then train them to be able to go back in the communities and be working with youngsters on maintaining a healthy and positive lifestyle. Then we're looking at ongoing activity. Our ongoing activity looks at how does young people formulate leads in the communities, and how do they keep that activity going on to ensure that these youngsters get represented at the Love Life Games at the district, regional, and provincial level. And then the last point is the events level, which then speaks to your district level, regional level, and provincial level. And this basically, through the games events, we want to say we're using sports and recreation as a vehicle, and we want young people to be part of this fun, energetic, and vibrant kind of event. So in terms of this, that was the objective in terms of the Love Life Games component. But if you're looking at the training, like I said, for instance, just for main roles, national and provincial trainers, our trainer events, we had a national training they then go out into the provinces and formulate a provincial LOC, a local organizing committee, a regional organizing committee, and a district local organizing committee to help them run events. So it becomes not a Love Life event-driven games event, but it becomes more a community-driven event because the LOCs are made up of teachers, federation people at a specific level, and then just people, young people that's passionate about making these events happen. And then, like I said, all trainings are expected to serve on Love Life Games LOCs and to drive, and all trainings are expected to drive local activities and events on the body-wise model. Now, the body-wise model looks at how do we get young people aware of their bodies, how do they do fitness assessments, how do they have regular exercises, for instance, and also how do they eat healthy, and that is linked to the body-wise model. And then the Love Life Motivational Program Implementation. Like I said earlier, we would like to have a more holistic approach to young people and not just concentrating on the sport aspect, but we need to look at healthy living, positive lifestyle, and HIV-free living. And so that encapsulates also in your motivational program where we want young people to have a hope for the future and have aspiration. So we're developing that kind of aspect in young people as well. The training, like I said, it was total. We had a total of 1,097 people trained, but that's overall at the national level, provincial level, regional level, and a district level. As you can see here, in terms of just the participation of people, Eastern Cape, for instance, at this stage was 126. That's the total of participants that was trained, and like I said, most of these participants, the majority is teachers in this regard. Free State 140, Gauteng 140, KZN 111, Limpopo 120, Mpumalanga 120, Northern Cape 120, Northwest 120, and Western Cape 100. At the time, guys, when this went out, basically it was just captured as at a provincial level, where these people were trained. So then what happened is that they went in into the districts where they were trained as district LOCs and regional LOCs to be forming part of the ongoing Love Life activity and promotion of healthy lifestyle. This is just again a breakdown of what happened in the provinces in terms of the reach that we had with the number of participants. And as you can see, like I said, it was for the national. Then approximately then 2,028 people were trained at the district level to participate in the LOCs or became part of the LOC structure at the district level. Looking then at the second level of the ongoing activity, and this is where we're looking at our mass participation reach. So first we train teachers, federation people, people that are just passionate about community work. Then we're looking at ongoing activity and how do we do our ongoing activity. We engage, we go doing our ongoing activity in the form of sports and recreation activities, but working closely with schools. And as you can see in the Eastern Cape, for instance, specifically with the games, Love Life operates in about over this 5,600 schools, but in this number, in terms of the 3,207 schools, specifically looks the number of schools that we are looking at sports and recreational activities that's taking place in those schools. Eastern Cape, 542 schools that we reach, Free State 209, Gauteng 391 schools, KZN 573, Limpopo 546 schools, Mpumalanga 304, Northern Cape 138, Northwest 332, and the Western Cape 172 schools. And this comes to a total of 3,207 schools, specifically just with a reach on sports development, or not sports development as such, but sports participation and activities that's taking place. Also, at our Y centers, I don't know if you heard about our Y centers, but it's also youth centers. We call them Y centers. We have about 18 Y centers nationwide. 3 in Eastern Cape, 2 in Free State, 1 in Gauteng, 3 in KZN, 2 in Limpopo, 2 in Mpumalanga, 1 in Northern Cape, 2 in the Northwest, and 2 in the Western Cape. And the purpose of our Y Center basically is to create a safe environment for young people, also a place where we teach young people soft skills and hard skills. When we're looking at the hard skills, we're looking here at what we call a cyberwise, where there's a computer lab, and young people from the community or surrounding areas can come to our lab and do a crash course on basic computer skills. Also, we're looking at our motivational programs. We get young people to debate on topics or issues, and just to understand the process of debating. A lot of sports activities take place at our Y centers because we do have volleyball, basketball, netball, soccer, in soccer courts. It's not soccer specifically, but more five-a-side soccer. But then we do have the basketball, volleyball, and netball courts at our Y centers. And then also during that time, through our Groundbreaker program, they look at your healthy sexuality, love life, making your move, how do young people develop their aspirations for life. And that's basically also going on at the Y Centers as part of our ongoing activity and stimulus for sports and recreational activities. Our third sector of our games is to look at the best practice games events. As you can see from the site, again, it's in provinces, all 9 provinces. According to the business plan, we have to deliver on class activities, district activities, regional and provincial activities. At a cluster level, we have 187 clusters, but then in total, this is the outreach that we had to all of the activities. So each cluster had basically a certain number of activities, and then at that activities, they have a total of youngsters that they had to reach. Just to say that these totals that you guys are seeing, it's not verified as yet within our monitoring department, but what we do on a weekly basis is we manage the process because we have a very stringent evaluation and monitoring process where through the groundbreakers and the regional programs leaders, they need to monitor and capture targets at these events. And so then they submit it on a monthly basis, but in the monitoring department we work about just 18 weeks later. So the up until it may be just slightly over even at monitoring, but this is what I've kept just up until recently from monitoring department. So as you can see, in total, at a cluster level, we have a reach of 139,581 young people participating in sporting and recreational events. At a district level, we have 90,339 participants up until now have been participating at a district level. From district level, they then move on to the regional level, where we have a participation of 34,989,000 participants that took part in our regional games. You can see that KZN, there's nothing in there because KZN hasn't started with a regional games is yet. They're only starting this coming weekend, and for the next 3 weeks, each of the regions will have their regional games. Provincial games has not started as yet for most of the provinces, only with Northwest, and their participation at the regional level was 1,788. All the other provinces, in terms of their provincial games, will only happen over the weekend of the 4th of December, and then the last one will be just after the on the 17th of December. So in total, we're looking at Love Life has a reach of over about 255,000 young people that we reach annually, and this is just specifically on the games events. That's excluding the work that we're doing in schools, in the other schools that I didn't mention now, on the HIV prevention and Love Lifestyle programs. Just again to recap on the times that we'll be saying, the ongoing league activities is ongoing from, and it is based on our year calendar. So from April 2010 until April 2011, they will be continuing with the league activity, making sure that they go to the Y Center. If it's not happening at a school, it's definitely happening at the Y Center. For instance, over the school holiday program, the extended school holiday program this year with the World Cup, Love Life's Y Centers was really instrumental in the World Cup, pulling all the young people together, and we had what we call the holiday program, and the same is intended for this coming December, where we run holiday programs at our Y centers to stimulate young people's activities. ongoing cluster festivals. Love Life Pride with the district games have cluster festivals where we just keep communities informed about the services that we're doing and the programs, and then we run programs with youngsters at these festivals as well. The district games was up until the end of October, so we've done with all our district games, and we, according to our business plan, had to deliver on 200 district games events, which to date we can claim that we have done our 200 district games events. The regional games was up until the end of November, and according to the business plan again, we have 30 regions that we divided the country into, and then from the 30 regional games, with the exception of KZN, we have delivered about so on 27 regional games up until now. The provincial games, we delivered on one up until now. We still need to do our 8 provincial games at the beginning of December. And then our national training is scheduled for early 2011, so around about March, April, where we then invite again our teacher, mostly our teacher corps, volunteers from federations, and also from the communities at large. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what the games department has been doing for the year. It's quite been a very hectic year for us. It still is, especially with the World Cup, we were quite busy. This year again, it's been hectic with all of the number of events that's been doing. And really, with all the interventions or the partnerships there, the provinces really tried to streamline and to find a synergy with the other departments. It really helped a great lot. And you find it is less duplication that's been happening now within the coming from the various departments. And really, people are looking forward to see how do we strengthen the role of what Love Life is doing in the communities, but also how do we find the synergy amongst each other, whether it's between sports and recreation, Department of Education, federations, but we need to look at the way forward in terms of how do we build a winning nation, because young people out there in the communities are really eager. They want to have sports, they want to have recreational activities, they want to have structure in their lives because they want to aspire to something bigger, and you need to give them that kind of role models and platforms. And I think through the Love Life Games, really, it's a good opportunity for young people to have a foothold in that area. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello, members. Is there a question? Sandy? Cora? JJ, Mackenzie, is there a hand next to you, Mackenzie?
No.
Mossi, in that order, complete time.
Thank you, Tristan. I'm one of those who have always asked, well, what is Love Life to you? And I've always been critical that it's government funds. And I think even with the Department of Sports, I've always been harsh with them. How do you monitor this money? Who monitors it? And who are they accounting to? You know, because it's different finances coming from. So when I open, I thought they get money from the local. But now I'm getting another sense of three departments that are getting money from. Secondly, Chair, this presentation speaks with an innate optimism of young people. My question to Love Life also is, how do you work with structures of youth development? Do you speak about youth? I want to start from the back, a National Youth Commission, which had provincial commissions. And I don't remember, or if my memory is like a red, that is equal to a red. I don't remember any partnership or any relations. There is now the new National Youth Development Agent, which I believe is government of young people. How is the Love Life working in the world? When you touch the youth, you must have a basis where to start, because all the stakeholders are youth. Third person, I see the Love Life is working with provincial departments of sports. I don't know which areas are they targeting. Are they targeting the more two urban areas like your Soweto and housing or more rural areas. Because I'm raising this, if you are a child in the Northern Cape, staying in Springbok, you stay in Kimberley, or you are more advantaged than a child who comes from Port Nolot, from Sutherland, from Harris. Why are they not targeting those when because that's where the disadvantage is? Eastern Cape. I come from a small town, born in Soweto though, but my womb, my parents come from a small town called Earthquake. I've never seen any type of life game. There next to it, there's Astron, never seen life. Astron is in the first stage, there's Yepenar down. I'm just trying to come to those areas that are more disadvantaged, if you will. I've never seen up to Queenstown. So I'm not sure where are these areas that they are talking about. I can't speak of the Western Cape because I'm not from here, but I'm not sure that they're placing Kukulethu or Nyanga East or Khayelitsha. I am trying to check which areas are they targeting, but they are nodal areas. You go down to the Eastern Cape, there's a place called Mozu. It's one of the nodal areas. So I just want to check which areas are they talking about. Because what I've mostly seen is that their adverts are more on those, I would say, a bit privileged areas now. Coming further, to say that the auditing part of it, who does it? Is it a different department who gives them money? That's why I want to be clear on what is it. And people living with disability, and how do they relate to them? Are they also playing with them? I've been checking. The presenter said they have, I don't know how many offices in South Africa, all over the country. Honestly, Che, I am not that blind because we travel all over them. I have not seen any office. Maybe they should also give us, this is where our offices are, and that's it. I just want to understand those points. Maybe if they respond, it will be important. And it's also important also to teach in Parliament, members are called honorable members, not guys. I think that's one thing that I must have. And thank you.
Thank you. Comrade Cora?
Thank you. Yeah. The CFO, in his opening remarks, he indicated in some cases that from the various departments, they get into the 7 million from forced education. They got 73 million from health. They get 40 million from social development. There's also an apology for their CEO. Who's on a meeting to further raise funds to get to this island in 14 million. You see, I think we are going to repeat each other. My constituency last term was in the Borland. This term is in the Southern Cape. Now, this outreach program of people, with whom do you do it? You know, you go to the Durand, you see a 30-year-old kid pregnant there. You go to where I am now, in Jason Dodd, it is the same thing. Now, with which youth, where are you having this program? I want to understand those programs, where do you have them? And as the Honorable Tanya said that, it will also be proper to indicate to us, this trainer, we've got a number of trainers, for example, from the Western Cape, these 100 trainers, where are they? Whom are they training? And they must be in a position to say, in Khayelitsha, we train there. In Kukulethu, we train there. Wherever. Outside Cape Town, there is also kids, youth, who need to be raised. Where are these GBs of yours breaking this ground? You've engaged schools in the Western Cape. Where is this 172 school? So that I can go and see what is happening. Because in this Western Cape, you go to the station now. You see kids in school uniform smoking cigarettes and what is you. What impact does this thing have? Read. This Asian White Center, you've got two in the Western Cape. And if they are doing this work, then I think really something must change. Where is this youth center? And who is giving this training? Can we come and speak in figures here and tell us why is this thing happening? This best practice game event has happened. There is an area outside Old Turin where Kapamba Fruit comes from, whose place of Free State. We call it Kumanduk. Have you been to those schools there? This is rural. You know where the schools opened? At the beginning of the year in this dot. There was no school. There could be no school because of drugs which had been used in that school. For the first 3 months we were just engaged with that, I could go to do any work outside this resort. Now, does this program go to those areas? Or is this program only meant for Oma Athlon and this Model T school? You see? Because what you see outside is only billboards. Nothing further than billboards. This is right around here in Cape Town, even outside Cape Town. It's at every open ground which is there. Our kids are playing soccer there. Where are your groundbreakers there? They start from the morning to the afternoon. Are these groundbreakers reaching those people? This message, because the thing which you are saying here, it's a beautiful, but where is impact? How do you measure it? Thank you, sir.
I think Honorable Cora and Honorable Sundus, they've covered me on some points. But I just wanted to check the issue of, because the love life is getting more budget, or the budget is something close to the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. I just want to check your entire organization, more especially on international level. And besides that, I'm just going to repeat what other honorable members have indicated, that where are your offices, especially in province? You said in Mpumalanga you are having two offices, but where are they? In which province? Because I think the province is part. And the issue of youth with disabilities, your presentation is silent with regards to the programs that include youth with disabilities.
Thank you. DJ?
Yeah. It's so difficult. It's a large amount of money. More than 27 million is more than all the federations together get from the department. What is done? What do you do with that money? How is sport developed and the healthy bodies are available for sport? I mean, I'm from the rural area. I know Love Life, how it started. I know what it's now. I know every year, it happened this year also, last minute, some person phoned me, Mr. Van der Linde, we need the sports field. No payment. They arranged the sports tournament in Prince Albert. No money for transport for the children. It was cancelled. They phoned me again. Can they have their tournament there by us? It's really a shame. How do Love Life link with your school sports structure? Is it just a once-off? To use the Central Karoo, phoning the people in Bavadwe, you have got sport there, organize a tournament for us. Because that's to me how you operate. That's what I see the past 5 to 10 years. Previously to that, there was proper Love Life tournament which coincides with the rest of the school structure. So to me, the money, it seems that if it grew, 140 million available, looking for more, what is being done for that? And as the previous speakers are saying, I mean, where did you work in Beaufort West or the Central Karoo with the youth to stay away from sick, from drugs, from sex, and those type of things? Where do you see it? I mean, the things are audited. I mean, I don't know the figures here. If they are audited, they say it's audited by RMNE department. Even just the figures, the schools, the totals of, I mean, they're using the field which I'm in charge with Ibobo Dwe for the yearly once-off thing. It's a mess, it's dirty, no payment. It must be free because there's no money. Love Love has not got money. But here's money. So that's, I mean, Love Life was supposed to be in front of, but there wasn't money, they couldn't go there. So to me, it's what are they doing? The previous speaker asked for the organogram of Love Life. Who's paid what? The directors are working free. But I know, I wonder about the rest. Is that 140 million actually divided between the few people that's working, and the rest must do it free of charge? The ground budget, it seems as if they are working free. It sounds like that. So that's the problem. I mean, with that money, it can help sports in our schools. It can help the health sector of our communities. It can help social development, but I can't see it, really, Mr. Chair. I don't see it. I've been part and part. My team won the first 2 years of hockey side in tournament national in Durban. My Beaufort West team won it, girls and boys. That was the good old days. But, I mean, hockey isn't part of that. Certain codes are part, but to me, it doesn't matter. They come to my hockey field to complain. Their tournament, which is a one-off thing, to me, Love Life is a big problem. The figures, I don't know how they get that many children and so are rich by Love Life. It's a huge sum of money, really.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks,
Gigi.
Hello, Mackenzie.
Thanks, Chairperson. Well, I'd just like to say to you, Manza and the presenters, there's a bit of aggression towards you guys. And let me tell you, I'm also one of them. Now, being on this committee, we have a small budget compared to some other departments with a mammoth amount of people to cover and make a difference in people's lives, school children, clubs, whatever the case might be. But really, the problem is when you talk six, a lot of the points have been covered, but JJ is right. For you to understand where we're coming from, you receive more from this department than all the other federations put together. There's something like 67 federations, sports federations. Now, are you in the business of sport, or are you in the business of educating people about the dangers of HIV? Because I have a problem straight away, before we go any further. But let's go down to some real issues. Honorable Cora has spoken about the 140 million that you receive from three departments, and clearly you get money from overseas people. That's why your CEO is not here. Why do we not have your financials? This department gives you money every year. Why aren't you telling us where the money is going to? Because these people are frustrated, these honorable members, because they don't know where the money is going to. And you are using public funds, taxpayer money, for these programs. You know, you say you've got people on the ground. I'm saying, do you monitor the people that you reach at these various things? Are you monitoring your success rate? How effective are you? If you have a sports event, or you have a debate, or you have chess games, are you monitoring them before you had that event and after you've had that event? Do you follow up in preceding years? The trainers, I think Honorable Kaur has spoken about that. Are these trainers HIV free? Or do they suffer from HIV? And do you know, do they have regular updating in their training? These are some of the hard questions we need to ask you. You talk about the business plan. Where is the business plan? You talk about working with federations and provincial governments and so on. We don't see any of these things. Honorable JJ has spoken about it. I don't see all these different departments coming together, including schools and whatnot. I just don't see it. The audit issue has been covered. Now, you talk about a healthy sexual lifestyle. Are you promoting abstinence or something else? Do you give out condoms? What is the message? I don't know. And I think the other speakers beforehand have spoken about billboards, and I agree with that. You see them outside airports, you see them outside malls, but I don't see them in Zululand or Richards Bay or in Freyheit or areas like that. So maybe I'm blind, but I haven't seen it. So I've got to tell you, I'm not suggesting that you're not doing good work. I'm questioning the fact that from a sports department, are we getting value for money? First of all, I question whether you should be getting any money from this department, and I've said it in the House, and most of these members have as well, not just me. And I'm not sure after today that I've changed my opinion. Clearly we have an HIV problem, I applaud what you're trying to do, but I'm not sure that the dollars or the rand we're giving you is justified. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm covered by quite a number of speakers before me. But Chairperson, I just wanna check, you know, right at the start of this presentation, it is indicated LifeLife is South Africa's national HIV prevention campaign for young people. And I think that is key term. In my mind, we should be, you know, getting figures from presenters that ever since we started, we have managed to do or to reduce the number of young people infected with this percentage. I think that is very key. But when you look throughout the whole presentation, there is absolutely nothing about that, which begins to say to ourselves that are we really serious about what we say we are getting money for? You understand? But I think, Chairperson, you know, maybe one should indicate one thing that at a certain point I was fortunate to be at a school where all these presentations were done. It was wonderful. I was part of that. I was a teacher liaison officer then. There were games, there were debates, they were teaching, you know, young people wonderful things, good things. You understand that? And it was maybe for a period of an hour that took place. But you know what was wondering, Chairperson, was something that is similar to what Honorable McKenzie is asking. Because immediately after school, the very same young boys that were part of that were like, you know, vultures to those young girls that is just, you know, counseled. And you begin to wonder, you know, whether there is discipline that is ensured. When you look at it and helpless as a teacher, whether are they free, are they HIV positive or not? Because you begin to wonder what is actually happening. People have just said this, and an hour later it is the opposite. Thank you, Chairperson.
Love Life, you can respond to those questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I would just like to cover, because I started explaining the financials in the
funding. So, for the sake of clarity, I would like to separate the mandates. Let us discuss the 27 million, and then let us exclude the, because the health mandate is different as well as the social development mandate. So, in answering the questions, I would just like to focus on the mandate of the sports and recreation. Okay. On the financial part, and then my colleague will answer the programmatic side. Thank you.
Let
the
me,
first part.
Let me just, let, before you answer the mandate, who gives a mandate? Is the Department of Sports and Recreation give Love Life mandate, or is Love Life designing on the mandate? And then you can respond and tell us as to what is the mandate of the sports and recreation to Love Life.
The mandate comes from the Department of Sports, and then we implement our programs based on that mandate. Likewise with health and social development.
You see, I'm asking, you said what is the name of?
Manja Mjul.
Yeah. I'm asking you that question. I, myself, and Cora and Cedric are almost privileged members of being a finisher in this committee. Love Life presented to the Department of Sports and Recreation on what it can do. And that which Love Life can do in and around awareness on sport was what Love Life presented to the Department of Sport. It is not the Department of Sport that says, Love Life, this is what we want you to do as a mandate. Unless, in the long run, that has changed. And then I cannot dispute it, but unless in the long run that has changed, because it's taken quite a long time before interacting with you. You have a CEO, a gentleman, I'll tell you what is here. Yes, Mr. Harrison. Yes. Mr. Harrison. Yes. He came here twice because our question centered around what you are raising now today. Because the department was saying, no, this is what they presented to us. And we have accepted them on this basis. Now today that question arises again. Say, do you work on the mandate of the department, or you work on what you have presented to the department as what you could do to have an impact around issues of sport, using sport as a vehicle for that impact? And then that is what members wanted to find out.
The question, the answer is twofold. One, it's based on the mandate from the Department of Sports. In addition to that, due to our network and our infrastructure that is available countrywide, we then add our recommendations based on the available infrastructure and networks.
I'm not going to make a debate on this. The Love Life is the foundation of what you call the CASA Foundation. Do you know that?
The contract ended.
Yes, but I'm saying the basis of Love Life was on Madiba at the time, on basis of the CASA Foundation. And there was an agreement of something like a rent to two rent, or a rent to three rent. That was what was the agreement. And when Love Life was accepted at the time of Utatu Madiba, was purely on those basis, and that contract of the CASA Foundation, we asked Umamu, the late Mando, about this thing of Love Life. And then because we said, to us in sports doesn't have an impact that we can make an assessment on it. And therefore, it's an albatross on the neck of sports and recreation. Anybody who wants it we are ready to give this love life to that particular person. But to us, it doesn't have an impact. Then the late Mandu agreed with us and said, no, we're chiseling on assessment of the impact of this love life. And these members are asking that again, Tata Konango. But you must talk about those finances. But these members are asking that, so that where you have gone, when you go back there, what is the impact of this campaign to the places that you have gone to? That is what they are asking you. But your document doesn't speak about the impact of this love life. No. You go back. And then you queen the little, and then from there, Uzo Nasika Gognizo Tatalon Bonolo, especially with Gognuka Manuse in other place. But the assessment, ANU on the love life, I hear completely to me. I want to be honest with you. But all the same, ask her a question. These are my questions. I'll just clear the air after this.
It's very much appreciated that we get in this kind of robust debate. I would like to just make the members aware that we do have a 10-year impact assessment. It's just that this document is so voluminous that it requires you during your evenings and maybe morning breakfast to go through them. So this is a 10-year assessment that we are bringing to the members, including our activity report that details exactly what we do. So that is why we apologize that we had to summarize this document in such a concise format without, you know, incorporating this. But we definitely appreciate the members' input. I think maybe when we come back here and present, we would like to come and just incorporate the core messages and answers to ensure that we address all the concerns involved. Without wasting any time, I would like to focus on the three major questions that touched on the money part, and then I will let my colleagues deal with the problematic questions. On the question of auditing, I've broken down the auditing into two parts. I think it's the financial auditing as well as the monitoring of data, which the members of this forum have raised. On the auditing part, we have PricewaterhouseCoopers auditors, who are official auditors, and the financials are on page 66 of this document. On the monitoring and evaluation, we have our own internal monitoring and evaluation department. It is also, the data is also double-checked by an external company, where all the data received from schools, provinces, and regions is double-checked. My colleagues will share on the programmatic part as to how that works. And also our audited financial statements, for the first time this year, are published on our website. So we are very transparent, as well as our activities and progress calendar. It is published on our website for the public for public consumption. The second question on the organogram, it is also here on page 8 of this document, but I would like to just go numerically to see, as I initially stated, that this is a massive organization, that it's sometimes easy to, you know, misunderstand its structures. On the organogram part, we have 400 permanent employees, and then we have 1,200 groundbreakers who are paid on a stipend, and then we have between 6,000 and 7,000 volunteers who do not receive a stipend, but they receive training, which we pay for, as well as some form of transport when there are certain activities. I think that covers the organogram part. And And then on the financials, I think honorable members have raised the issue of transparency. I think right now, I think that question has been addressed. The financials are available on the website. They're available in this document. In addition to that, we also submit quarterly reports to the Department of Sports. So that is why I was saying if maybe members of this forum would like us to come back now with hardcore numbers, we'll be happy to really come back and share numbers per province, those numbers to be attached to the financial impact to ensure that the members' concerns are fully addressed, including the location. However, at the global level, we are very transparent in terms of having quarterly reports which are submitted to the Department of Sports. And before we get any tranches from the Department of Sports, we have to submit quarterly reports. Otherwise, we do not get any money. So the business plan, Honorable Chair, just to clarify, as you have known, Love Life has a history with the Kaiser Foundation. Yes, we concur with that. But starting from after the Kaiser Foundation stopped last year, we getting now national departments involved, because EG, yesterday we met with the DG of Health, who told us that she's changing the entire business plan based on certain initiatives that she wants to implement. And we appreciate this forum who are coming to say that there are a couple of things that they would like to see in our business plan. I think going forward, we are ready to be working with this forum, with the Department of Sports, to ensure that the mandates are properly delivered and they are as transparent as we would like them to be. I would like to hand over to my colleagues regarding the programmatic question. I was just clarifying the financials as well as the mandates. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tata. Giving over to your colleagues to answer.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I just want to address a few key issues. I'm going to hand over to Lisa. For those of you who are interested in introduction, my name is Scott, and I'm Scott Burnett, and I'm the program director at Love Life. Specifically with regards to youth development structures, we have been engaging with, in the old days, with the Bongo and the National Youth Commission, and currently with the National Youth Development Agency. And we are in fact about to sign an MOU with them, which agrees to a broad outline of the agenda for youth development in South Africa. The main areas where we come together very strongly is that both our Inchi and our Groundbreaker program are considered to be part of the National Youth Service structure in South Africa. They're very clear on that, we're very clear on that, and accordingly, the way we structure those programs is designed to be within that framework. Secondly, there's a historical point that was made about school sports structures, and I think the Honourable Member Sander Linde was commenting on very well-organized, structured events that led into a national event. And I think that many of the Honourable Members here will know the history of USASA, the United School Sports Association, and the issues that we've had around organising sports since the demise of that institution. Certainly, that time in the history of the Love Life Games was also a time when the strategy was changed from doing big national events to doing much smaller community-based events, which Lisa presented as clustering and district games. So yes, there is obviously much more that can be done to make those events as exciting perhaps as the national Love Life Games in Durban used to be, and I think many people remember that with fondness. But there were good reasons in order to drive more community participation, more local involvement, more man participation that the current strategy was adopted. With regards to whether we're a sports promotion campaign or an HIV prevention campaign, our mandate is very specifically to be an HIV prevention campaign. And as Lisa was presenting earlier on, using sports and recreation as a platform for HIV prevention and for promoting healthy lifestyles and healthy sexuality is what the Love Life Games is all about. But ultimately, yes, this committee is absolutely right. If we're not preventing new HIV infections, we're which platform we use, it doesn't matter. With regards to our training team and the update of their training content and whether trainers themselves are HIV positive, we do have a number of HIV positive trainers who are open about their status and discuss openly what those are. The Rakamahoi is one of our, she spoke at the Vienna AIDS conference, for example, this year on that very issue, and talking about really what drives HIV in South Africa, where is HIV right now in terms of our young people and how they're becoming infected. So we believe that is very important. And of course, yes, our training content must be updated continuously to stay abreast with movements in young people, both in youth culture and in HIV and the way that the disease spreads. Our behavior change approach is not specifically abstinence-focused or condom-focused. We approach HIV from a structured psychosocial vantage point, which is to look at what are the reasons, what is going on inside a young person's head when they are taking tick in Düsseldorf, when they are smoking in the station in Cape Town, when they are engaging in unprotected sex. And the Love Life approach is to focus on risk tolerance and the behaviors and attitudes that drive risk tolerance, which is why, as Lisa was outlining, we focus very much on motivation, we focus very much on setting future goals, and many of our programs are entirely about those things. Even in our sexuality programs, it's not just sex ed. It's sex in the context of relationships, love, talking to your parents about sex, planning for your future. So our whole program design really is around those things. Yes, we do talk about abstinence. We do talk about how effective abstinence could be. We do talk about condoms. We do talk about whether it's the right time to start having sex. So we open those discussions, but we don't have an approach that hones in on one of those behaviors. In terms, just briefly, of the impact of Love Life, and Mandas already referred to this, and I've already conferred, we're going to be sending some documentation to this committee. We'll courier some down, Mandas, as soon as we are out of this meeting. The interpretation of the HSRC surveys and the RHRU survey, which were so far the four really authoritative studies, 2002, 2005, 2008 for the HSRC, and then RHRU was the one that we commissioned that was published in 2004. If you look at the general prevalence by age band across those studies, you can see that there's been a significant change in youth sexual behavior. Almost everybody in the HIV community at the moment is talking about what could it be that has actually changed young people so much. One example that I can think of here that always impresses is that we've seen young men report that the last time they had sex, they used a condom. That reporting level has gone up from 57% in 2002 to 87% in 2008. So in terms of young men reporting that they actually do protect themselves, that's gone up. There's been a significant decrease in prevalence by age band. What that means is that if in 2002 6.7% of 13-year-old girls were HIV positive. At the moment, 4.3% of that same age band are HIV positive. And this has been noticed in the antenatal clinical data by DOH. It's also been picked up by these surveys that we're talking about. Now, one of the challenges of the scientific approach to HIV prevention is that it's very hard to prove causation. What exactly is it that has caused these shifts in youth sexual behavior? Is it just that young people have seen family members die? Is it just that we've reached saturation levels in our education system in terms of sex ed and life orientation? Is it because of komanani? Is it because of soul city? Is it because of Love Life? It's very hard in terms of doing a scientific study to say that with any kind of real finality. The 2004 survey we did, which we're trying to, one of the things we're raising funding for at the moment is trying to do another evaluation. It costs about 11 million rand to do a proper scientific study that tests these things. The 2004 study shows that young people who had participated in Love Life programs, of which Love Life Games is one, young people that had participated were 60% as likely to have HIV as same age peers, controlling for a number of factors, including their socioeconomic status and exposure to other programs. So there is some indication, but I can't say to the committee that we have, you know, the absolute conclusive be all and end all of proof. We've shown that there's a correlation between participating in blah blah and not being HIV positive. And we need to review and renew that research. We need to do it again, and we need to do it on an ongoing basis for it to really be meaningful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Firstly, just want to apologize for referring to honorable committee members as guys, and then just commenting on the programmatic issues. In terms of where are we located or where do we have our games, like we indicated earlier on, we can give a breakdown in terms of the different provinces and where exactly did our games, for instance, happen, and then even where is our office is located. Likewise, for the Y centers, it's on our website as well, where exactly is our Y centers located. For instance, in the Western Cape, one is in Langa and one is in Meisna. In terms of our reach on disabilities and youth at risk, for instance, Love Life really, since last year, did take a definite trying to really reach out to those communities or how to reach demographics. For instance, like I indicated with the province of KZN, they've been really working closely with Elton schools. Western Cape is also working with schools with disabilities. Likewise, in Gauteng, for instance, they have events where they involve learners with disabilities to be partaking in sports activities. Yes, it's sometimes a challenge, especially around the transportation issue, but then Love Life would usually go and have the event at a specific school. And that breakdown of the schools and where we've been actively involved in, that we can also submit in a report form to the portfolio committee. Just to say, in terms of the schools, South Africa is about 30,000 schools. Love Life is claiming to operate in 5,600 schools, where the games is operating currently in the at over 3,000 schools. Yes, it's only a little that we are doing, but it's really, we're trying to, as an organization, to be really visible and keep the activity going. You know, like Scott indicated, you know, with the dwindling of your startup, school sport was not really evident. But yet through the Y centers and in our engagement within schools, we really try to keep that flame burning. And yes, it may be not as magnificent, but in through the monitoring of the data that we're reflecting here, that's really verifiable, and we can verify it through our monitoring system. I would actually would like, when September, our provincial program scored a leader for Western Cape, maybe just to touch on the smaller part of towns that we're reaching here in the Western Cape specifically. And that kind of data that Jen will be sharing with you, we can also then submit it in report format, because all of the provinces really, like for instance, Northwest Province is really trying their level best to reach those hard-to-reach demographics or really rural areas, and they've been really trying their level best to work closer with the Department of Education and ensuring that we do reach those learners. But I'm going to hand over to Gwen just to talk on, for instance, the Western Cape involvement.
Thank you. Good afternoon, honorable members, and thank you for the opportunity. I was very excited when the member was talking about the dwellings area and almost forgot where I was. I wanted to put up my hand and just indicate the work that we are doing there. For the Western Cape, we have three regional offices, one in the metro, which is situated in Langa, and there's about 85 groundbreakers that work from the Langa office in the different areas in the metro. That would include your Kayalicha, your Philippi areas, your Hubby, your Mitchell's Plain, Atlantis, the Noon, covering actually the whole metro area. We also have an office in the Worcester area that 54 groundbreakers work from, and they cover the area of Cape Winelands and also the west coast area from Friedenberg up to Friedendal. I would just like to mention the dwellings area especially. We have groundbreakers in Ekhala Secondary School, we have groundbreakers in Fakatum Secondary School, and we also have groundbreakers at the dwellings clinic. And the dwellings is also blessed with those of you who know about our Google program, where we have our ladies that look after vulnerable kids, when the Gates Foundation, together with Lovelife, has to identify the areas where these grannies would work, the dwellings was then allocated five cohorts was also from there. So I've mentioned this thing. We have an office in Tembalesu in George, where 36 groundbreakers work from, and that is a very vast area from Fredenburg Way to Swellendam, and then also Beaufort West. So, yeah, for the Western Cape, we don't really just work in the metro area. We do a lot of work in the rural areas.
No, thank you very much. The gentleman was dealing with the finance. We will again have another meeting to discuss more details. So I'm just saying, when you come again, we are inviting you. Don't worry about giving us details. Give us the details. Because it is the details that we wanted to check with us. The other things are not very much important about, but the information like the lady is giving us is exactly what we want. No, because when we ask Aura to go to the dwelling, when he's doing the constituency work, he must be able to give us information from the dwelling. When I ask Comrade Grace to go to Mpumalang, must do that. JJ in Beaufort West must give us that information. I must give the information from the free day. So that they say no. But what you're talking about, where in Kruestad, where in Kwanko, where in Bethlehem, where in Bloemfontein? And so that we must be able to discuss this. Because I want to tell you, even the Mr. Harris will tell you, that we had a very a view that we have taken at the time about Love Life, and that view has not changed. Our view around Love Life has not changed. Because to us, as this committee, Love Life is an albatross to the neck of this department. And if we can get rid of Love Life, maybe we can breathe better. But up until you have given us better information, and then we will not say your Love Life is fine. But unfortunately for you, Love Life, unfortunately for you, the system for budgeting has changed. It is no more the prerogative of the minister to decide on this thing. And if we have to go to the ANC in discussing this matter, in disagreeing with the minister, we will do that. Up until we get better answers and help you with these answers that we are going to get from Love Life. So we have no information. But the question that I just want to ask quickly, because we're going to the house, it's already 2 o'clock now, is that apart from the 140 million that you are getting, what is the total income that you are getting from all other sources? RVs, and then from I've seen the funders that are giving you. Yeah. What is the total amount of the money that you're giving?
2009, it was 203 million. The rest are project related. So basically, it's a funder that comes in. I'll give you an example. A VW says, we would like to build a youth center in or in East London, and how much does it cost? We do the costing for them, all the operational overheads and all of that, and then they'll come in and say, okay, here's 5 million.
Yeah.
So that is project specific. So what we have mentioned just on the government side was the 140, but the delta, Honorable Chair,
yes.
Is the balance.
You open up can of worms for you. When you build a building, let's say BMW says, we are going to fund you to put a building. At the end, whose assets is that one? If it is Love Life, how many assets, and then what is the worth of the assets that you are having throughout the country that are built for this project for Love Life?
At the moment, it's only three. It's our head office building, and then two other youth centers. The rest is leases.
The rest is leases?
Yes.
No. The other thing that I want to check from you, when you said the sports mandate is different from health and different from that of social development, what is, share with us, what is the mandate for health and what is the mandate for social development? When the mandate for sports is this one of conscious, healthy lifestyle and all these other things that children must be aware or any other person must be aware, what is the mandate of health?
I'm glad that this meeting with health took place yesterday, so it's fresh information out of the box. They've thrown away the entire business plan. They want to focus on HCT over and above what we're currently doing. So, because the main mandate.
Let's talk about the old mandate, not the fresh one, yesterday's mandate. Let's talk about the old mandate in relation to sports and social development and health.
We have various programs within that portfolio. I'll let Scott, but one of them is youth-friendly services. But Scott, can you elaborate on all the programs in the health sector?
Now, just the mandate of health and social development. Of sport, we hear what is it, and then what is the one of social development and of health? Yes.
Broadly speaking, in its biggest terms, health focuses on the Groundbreaker program at 462 youth-friendly services sites, which are public health facilities across South Africa, where we implement the youth-friendly services program with those Groundbreakers. And there's a system of training for district management teams and quality improvement in the primary health care system that we run with COH. Social development's focus is much more on reaching marginalized communities. And with them, we work also with Groundbreakers, but they support our Vinci program, that core of 5,000 volunteers that does a lot of our face-to-face work in schools. The Department of Social Development also funds specific projects such as the Google Getty project, after they took it over after the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
I want to, but I will show you next time that there is no quite close similarities in what you're doing. And I'm quite overlapping, and then I'll discuss that with you and show you face-to-face type of reading, and then together with this one of a campaign on consciousness that you are doing on sports and the one of health. Let us not talk about that. I just want we'll discuss that with you. The other thing that I wanted to check is that on your organogram, this organogram, are these people who are on this organogram except the Groundbreakers? To what, up until at what level are these people employed? You said you employed 11, you said what, 1,000?
Permanent is 400.
Yes.
And then 1,200 is the Groundbreakers. And about 6,000 to 7,000 is the volunteer corps.
Yes. When you come back, sir,
yes,
you must bring us the breakdown of the 400 people there. And then your board of trustees, your CEO, and all that. Because one of our responsibilities of this department is to check whether issues of women and issues of equity and all other things are existing here. Because things like love life, they're populated by white people, and making money. Black people are on the periphery. They're just the workers, troopers, and work for them, and then everything is nice. And I want to check that when you come back. Because that was a difficult question for Mr. Harris to answer when he was here. Very difficult for him to answer that question. The provinces. Are you getting money from provinces? I'm from the Free State, and Free State is written on this document. Are you getting money from the provinces? Well,
we were not, because now the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on the GOGO program is, has wind up as of last month, we started approaching the provinces to get involved. And so far we've got Northern Cape for the GOGOs, their GOGOs, and then we're working with the Free State. So the deal is almost done, but in Gauteng, there's been a cabinet reshuffle. We are working on a 2 million rand funding, but it's in limbo right now. So for certainty, going forward, I think we will be getting money from the provinces because the GOGO program is linked to orphans and vulnerable children, which is part of the social development mandate.
So I'm asking you that question, and you are answering it in a good way. I'm asking this question. There is a lady there from the department, and then I want her to hear that a Love Life is double DP. I want her to hear that Love Life is double DP. We are giving money. The provinces that are giving are going to give you money. Shega. Provinces do not have that money. We are giving the provinces that money. And national department is giving you 27 million. And the national department gives almost 400 million to different provinces on this conditional grant in which you are going to benefit out of it. It's a fact that I'm giving you. So we have to check. Our terrain there, and then and say if you get from provinces, you can't get it from national. If you get it from national, you can't get it from provinces. But we'll discuss that. But I just say that. And no, Mark Cape knows exactly this that I'm saying. Oba, it is a fact that the money that we are giving, the provinces do not budget for sport, for money, for the sport. You must go and check them. If they have 100 million, it's a shock of your life in the Department of Sport throughout provinces. They don't have that much. And yes, continue.
Through you, Chair, can I just clarify?
Yes.
I was just referring to the GOGO program, but on sport, none.
No. I'm saying the GOGO project and all these other projects. Yes. Any other project that the provinces are doing that is sports related or any other thing. And then the funding, to that extent, comes from Onomatipo. You said you are going to get the business plan and all that. But thanks for all the information. I want to ask the gentleman. Yesterday, on my email, and even now, on my email, I have checked a lady from Nigeria. You must check in the email. It's running on the email. There's a court case going on. A lady from Nigeria has taken the SADC region to court and the Federal Republic of Nigeria to court on what you're talking about. On the condoms that are reducing HIV and AIDS. And that she said the prevalence of sexual infection, by and large, are caused by the condoms. And she is having that empirical evidence, and then she has gone to court about such a case. Now, I wonder what SADC and the Federal Republic, because they asked the question, why do you take SADC? They said, now the agreement between the Federal Republic of Nigeria, this agreement emanates from SADC, and that is why condoms are planted all over Nigeria, and these are the consequences of these condoms that are there in Nigeria. So I want you to go and sit down and check exactly whether this lady's matter has a substance on prevalence of infection. She doesn't say on prevalence of HIV. She says that prevalence on infection, and that whether it is the case. Just that something that I just want to share with you, and then it's running on the internet now, and then you get that. But thanks very much for coming, that, and then and presenting this report to us. And then next time we will sit a little bit longer because I didn't ask questions. I'm just giving you those for provoking you so that you go home thinking exactly what we are thinking about this love life, and then next time when you come here, and then we'll discuss more. I'm going to start with love life when you come here and go a little bit deeper, because I've seen quite a number of things here that I want to ask questions about. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you so much. Honourable members, I don't think we have time to go and eat, but those who can eat, they can go and eat and then they come later into the house. Thank you very much.